Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Well, it's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. It's time for the Mark Order Podcast. It's Wednesday. We were supposed to have a full crew, but we don't have a full crew. But it's okay, because Matt's here tonight.
Is it okay?
You gotta turn your mic on. You forget how to do it.
Is it okay? Is it okay?
It's more than okay, pal.
Spreading disgusting rumors about me last week.
What? What rumors? No rumors.
No, love here. I listened to the whole show. The only one that didn't have anything bad to say about me was Ryan.
Ryan never has anything bad to say about anything or anybody.
You know what? And there's nothing wrong with that. All right. You made up these egregious, terrible lies. I'm a Grinch. Christmas is my favorite holiday. Are you kidding me?
You sound like a Grinch right now, you fucking Grinch.
I'm not a Grinch. You're a lying Larry, and you shouldn't have lied to the wonderful fans of the Mark Order Podcast. I was out in the cold, and I got home at 9:55.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to watch any of Dynamite. Then I took a shower. Then I wanted to eat dinner with my beautiful wife.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happens when I don't watch the show? I sit in the chair, and I do this.
It's fun to watch for anybody who's watching us.
Well, look, that's just a waste of my time, buddy. I'm just sitting in a chair going, swinging around and around.
Yeah, I know. You can't be a millionaire when you're wasting time. Shining Wizards, Matt.
Yes, I can't give. Look, I got to promote the shit out of the show. We've been picking up steam the last couple weeks. So.
Shut up. We're going to talk about some of this stuff later.
So, yeah, why waste my time? Why waste your time, the listener's time, if I can't put any valuable content out there, if I'm just an ugly and look, I'm not the looker of the group, right? She's not even here, by the way.
That's why nobody's listening. She had to fucking go and say, I'm not gonna be on tonight, but you should listen.
She shouldn't have done that.
I know.
What's in the agenda? Good call.
Yeah, I almost forgot. Well, before we launch into things really far. Like I said, this is the Mark Order Podcast, episode number 40. Whoa. Last episode of 2021, fellas. How fun is that?
Cool.
fucking Matt is here. Matt,
I don't know. What do you want me to say? It's the last episode of 2020. It's not like we're not going to do one next week.
No. Well, we're going to do one next week, but it won't be on Wednesday. The first show of 2022 will be delayed because we're going to be in Newark for the first TBS apparently on the mothership TBS. Jesus Christ. How many times did we have to hear mothership tonight?
Asian Joe knows what it's about. I provide excellent comic relief, even when he misses Dynamite. Well, thank you, Asian Joe. I appreciate that.
I also have to agree with Rob Humphrey here. Kate is faking sick, not buying it. I agree. She'll be right as rain on Friday night when it comes time to do a Fight Club show.
To be fair, she's also had COVID twice, so.
And maybe a third time. Who knows? We don't know.
Something's wrong with her.
If she hits triple cherries on the COVID positivity, she should play the lottery.
I told her if she catches it again after now getting boosted, then her body is actively seeking it out.
I mean, it's just some people, you know, that's what they do, right? You just.
Perhaps the CDC should look at her.
Yeah, well, you know, she could be a breakthrough case.
Maybe she's like the monkey from Outbreak.
Well, I don't know if I ever saw all of Outbreak. I get the point, but she could be.
You should watch it. It's a fantastic movie.
At this point, I can certainly say I will watch it if I catch it. I'm not going to go seek it out, but
don't catch what they're talking about in Outbreak.
Oh, and that from the outbreak monkey? No, I probably wouldn't.
You don't want that.
No, I don't want that, and I don't want to catch what they had in 28 Days Later, the rage zombie sickness.
Oh, yeah, I think I have that inside of me.
I think so.
Yeah. That's
probably a smart bet. So Millionaire Matt is here tonight. Ryan Schlong is here with us tonight, as always.
I am. I'm here.
Keeping Ryan, quiet and positive.
If I may, Ryan, I think the visual would have been much better if you had some cool glasses like Power and Glory.
The problem is my cool prescription sunglasses that would have enabled me to see were stolen out of my car.
Son of a bitch.
It's that Philly shit. Stealing it out of his car.
That was Jersey.
So sorry. So sorry to hear that.
Philly shit, man. Philly shit. So, gentlemen, Matt, yeah. You weren't here last week because you were grinching out. But
bitch, I was not doing anything of that nature.
How was your holiday?
You know what? My holiday, even if I was here last week, I wouldn't be able to tell you how my holiday was because we didn't celebrate it last Wednesday.
Well, we weren't talking about what we were celebrating or how it was celebrated last Wednesday. We said, what are you going to be doing for the holiday?
What are you doing?
Yeah. So how was it? Did you get
it was awesome
presents?
Did you get call my child a prick like you did last week? But I'm the Grinch.
Yeah, that's right.
Unnecessary. Did he enjoy his Christmas presents that I bought him?
You didn't buy him presents. We exchanged a box. Did you happen to open that ring, Matthew?
No, not yet. Why?
So for all of those wondering what we're talking about, I had ordered, here's a Ref Aubrey figure, by the way.
Nice. Ooh,
as I hit my fucking mic again. Here's Ref Aubrey. Hi, I'm Ref Aubrey. How's it going? Yes, I did. Yes, I did, Mrs. Money. I said he was acting like a prick right before Santa came. It's okay. So, Matt, as Mrs. Money is saying here, we took that ring out and put it together. It is huge. I mean, he had a blast with it, you know, like, to go with that ring, we got him a nice little, Luchasaurus figure, his favorite.
Nice.
I also stole, I stole this guy over here, the wrestling buddy. He got a Luchasaurus wrestling buddy.
All
this
right.
Jacket was mine. That's a Mrs. Money present. The, WrestleMania, Ultimate Challenge jacket from Chalkline.
WrestleMania 6. Nice.
Yeah. Pretty sweet. But yes, he had a great Christmas. He loved his all of his gifts. But I will say, Matt, that wrestling ring is large. I know it's like the full scale ring, so I expected it to be big, but it's fucking big. I don't know where you're gonna put it when you do open it.
Yeah, I think the other ring with Kenny is also just as big.
I think that one is scaled down, but it's still probably big. This is they said the like actual dimensions. I think the Rick, the one with the Kenny Omega is smaller, but it's still
box the same size.
I have no idea.
The one that I got with the Cody from the UK is a medium sized ring.
Okay. Well,
Rob Humphrey, I know. I thought Matt didn't open his stuff. No, Matt buys two of everything.
Yeah.
So I can open one.
That's where Matt and I diverge. Matt buys two and opens one, and Ant Money keeps it. In his case, he lets the value accrue so that one day I can turn around and say, who wants these mint in box?
I can also do the same thing.
I know you can, but I won't have anything left over.
I get to keep some.
I don't want to keep it. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Oh.
I will say this though, Matt. I will say this about the AEW stuff, because I have to write a strongly worded message to Jazzwares here.
Uh-oh.
That fucking wrestling buddy, he was wrestling around with it for like 10 minutes and then it stopped working. Like, I changed the batteries, I checked the batteries, I unscrewed the thing, see if a wire was fucking loose. Thing fucking stopped working. It doesn't make noise anymore. So I got to write a strongly worded letter to Jazzwares about that. And then also, I don't know if you know this, Matt, with the figures, but if you rotate just a little bit, that leg pops right off, and it doesn't really secure itself back in very much. So, they're nice looking products. But quality may be a little lacking for me. For a child, you know, these are supposed to be children's toys.
Yeah. No, I understand. I hear where you're coming from.
So we'll see.
Mrs. Bunny says, one day, these figures will pay off for us. Right, Mr. Money?
Yeah.
Don't watch the Beanie Baby documentary on HBO. That's all I have to tell you.
No. Yeah. Well, those things were, that was a whole different mess.
Oh, yes, it was. We watched it last night, and I kept getting the side eye from the wife.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, you've got all this shit upstairs.
And it just keeps showing up.
Yeah, you're see, now I'll say this. You've got a ton of wrestling stuff. Mine is spread among wrestling and Ghostbusters. So it's probably the same size, just two different subjects. But he loved Christmas. He was he did very well for himself. He was a good boy, apparently, that last week. Nobody was watching.
All right.
And then I did okay for myself. I got this nice jacket here. I got a new pair of Hitman shorts in the other room as well. They're like the satin boxers, you know, like the shorts the boxers wear in the ring. They're pretty sweet. Those are from those were both from Mrs. Money.
I would hope so. That'd be weird if like your sister-in-law got you like silk boxer briefs.
No, but my sister-in-law did. Well, they're not boxer briefs, they're shorts. They're like what the boxers wear.
Yeah, Mrs. Money is looking for you to box something in those things.
Okay. My sister-in-law actually got me the Young Bucks book, so I gotta crack that open and start
reading. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was very nice. Schlong, how was your holiday?
Mine was good. Didn't get any figures. Don't have any. Going to continue that. I got clothes. That was basically the extent. When you get old, you know, my sisters basically bought me something on behalf of my nieces and nephews. And then my parents bought me, you know, like a couple pairs of pants. And that was the extent of my Christmas.
Couple pairs of pants. Did you get maybe some new socks?
No, I need new socks. I did get a thermometer for grilling that you put in the meat and then it goes to your phone. So you don't have to open the grill to check what the temperature is.
All right.
Sounds good.
That sounds like a fun, like up until that point, I was like, God damn, you are the most adult person on this podcast.
I was going to say, did you get a new calculator and pocket protector with your pants?
Who needs a calculator anymore? We have phones.
Well, I thought maybe you didn't. Yeah, it was.
Come on. Yes, and my joke was to be adult about it. God, come on.
Jesus Christ. I got new headphones from work.
Yeah, how's that going for you?
So you're a thief.
No, they sent me a Christmas gift, and it was a new pair of headphones.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice. I like a dildo put on the wrong soundboard on my Amazon wish list, and my brother got it for me. And then I opened it up and realized there was no USB connector for it, so
I had to send it back. Yeah,
I sent it back today. I thought it was going to be like a fucking process. It was the easiest thing I've ever done.
No, Amazon is the shit. Mrs. Money wants to know what you got for Christmas, Matt.
Oh man, I got a shitload of books.
Oh, another nerd. What'd you? What kind of books?
I mean, what kind of books did you think I got?
I will guess. Let's see. Wrestling.
Yep. Oh, hold on. Let me. Hold on.
Correct. Ding.
Okay. So that's one. Did you get any self-improvement books? Boy, did you get any books about not being, you know, like centering yourself and positivity to be more like Ryan? Then if it wasn't books about being more positive and having a great outlook on life, did you get books about mass murderers?
Correct. Ding.
Oh, all right. Well, that explains everything.
Yeah. I fucking read a book in less than a day too.
Oh my God.
I could have put it down. I picked it up and it was awesome.
Oh boy. Ryan, this is coming from the guy who also said, I think I could hide a few bodies in that thing under my kitchen outside.
Oh, yeah.
But see, he should know better. You'd never hide on your own property.
Right. I know. Don't worry. I know. I know. I also got baseball books. I got a Tom Seaver book and I got a Michael Kay book.
Oh, is it talking about how big his fucking head is?
It's the center stage book. I haven't opened it yet. My wife got me books and socks for work and new man pajamas. And she got me...
Man pajamas. Now, are those like... is that like a, you know, a set, like a red satin set, with, you know, that buttons down?
It's a flannel set.
Monogrammed?
No monograms.
No monograms. You're a millionaire.
I am. She's not.
All right. Well.
Look, don't let the dumb face fool you. My money is my money. She keeps her money with her. And I don't let her touch my money. Now, I know, and I also know, she's within earshot. What's mine is hers, and what's hers is hers.
Well, that's fun. Yeah, I see what you're doing.
I got a couple Ring of Honor figures.
Oh, nice.
I got a lot of a lot of new soap and body wash.
We need that.
But I clean up at Christmas. I put it on my list just so I have to don't buy it the rest of the year. I got a bunch of them Sasquatch
soaps. Oh, Dr. Squatch, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Squatch. I got a bunch of Dr. Squatches.
I'm on like the competing brand. There's like, you know, that's like one of those online soaps. I'm on like the competing online soap brand.
All right.
But I respect the Squatch.
And yeah, I got a big John Studd figure.
Nice.
I got a bunch of scratch offs.
Win anything?
Yeah, I won like $130.
Look at that. The millionaire Ryan just keeps adding to his net worth.
One of the girls I work with got me the Office World's Best Boss mug. So now that's on my desk.
Very nice.
I had a good day. That's a good. I'm not big on getting gifts. I prefer giving gifts.
What was the big gift for Ree?
I bought her a sink for the basement.
Ah, yes.
Like a slop sink, since that's like her workshop. And there's no running water down there. So now the next step is to get the plumbers out here to install it. I also got her, it's the map of the Legend of Zelda.
Oh.
Carved out of wood.
Very nice.
Yeah. And I got her a bunch of little knickknacks and shit.
Very cool.
Yeah, but those are big ones. I got her like a duck hunting book and all sorts of good stuff.
Now, I'll tell you this. Mrs. Money and I... usually it's like, hey, we're not going to do a gift, or we're going to do like one gift, right? Because like we just kind of buy shit all year. So so we didn't necessarily like, you know, go crazy. Like she got me the jacket and the pair, you know, the pair of shorts. And she excuse me, she wanted this pair of glasses. And I'll show you them, but I would like to show you if I can. If I can show you Exhibit A here in a moment, I'll pull it up. I ordered them in plenty of time. Okay, plenty of time. This is how they arrived to me. They arrived in this box. This is this brand, A. Morir, whatever. So they arrived in this box perfectly fine. This box was inside that box. Again, perfectly fine. This was the case inside the box. No, nothing wrong. Everything is fine. This is what they looked like when I opened the fucking case.
I'm pissed now.
Yeah, especially because it was like a week and a half to go before Christmas. These glasses were, they're supposed to have all these rhinestones all over it. They clearly were not done correctly. The fucking lens was missing. What a goddamn nightmare.
I hate your guts.
Yeah, you're telling me, Macho Man. But, whoa, sorry, wrong button. wrong button. But I will say, folks, the folks at A. Morir, you know, customer service were fantastic because they sent me these new glasses that were absolutely perfect. You know, the rhinestones and everything are perfectly in place. These are the Halfords. They look great. And, Mrs. Money loves them, and she's probably going to put something in the chat now about me putting them on. But, yeah, if I could tell you how, utterly pissed and, genuinely, not necessarily nervous, but I was just like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. I don't have a gift. This was the only gift. But they actually got him here on time. So those folks were great. And everything worked out. But seriously, like with 3 days to go, I was like, I'm not going to have shit. I don't know what I'm going to do here. But they got here, thankfully.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
I know it is, Hulk. The Hulkster. So...
Don't let your walrus head stretch out your wife's glasses.
No, they're off. Dickhead. They're off. Don't worry. I'm stretching out my own glasses again. If I could see anything.
Ryan, when you do this show,
yeah,
right, Schlong, and you have to prepare, there's usually like, it's like you have to prepare for Kate or me. I think you and Anthony might be on the same page. What is like, do you have like anxiety while you're watching Dynamite? Are you hoping I bail? Because you just kind of sit there and I don't know.
No, this is free entertainment for me.
I feel like this doesn't represent the Mark Werder podcast and your amazing job you do on the Twitter machine when I come in devil.
I think this is a fair representation. It's insanity mixed with jokes and most of them bad.
Bad jokes.
There's no bad jokes, just bad puns. Okay.
That's not true.
The puns are atrocious.
They're terrible. You and I are on the same page there.
That's just not true. You're both wrong.
By the way, Mrs. Money said she might wear these glasses next Wednesday to Dynamite. It is the first show on the mothership. So it's possible. They're pretty fancy.
Well, Mrs. Money, there's two types of people that wear glasses inside. Blind people and douchebags, so don't do that.
Well, she's not a douchebag. She's not blind. She's just fancy.
I don't know, man. I can see you, and she married you, so she might be blind.
Jeez. Kyle Sparks says that he definitely would believe Halford would wear the glasses. And I'm going to throw this thank you, Rob Humphrey, credit to Ant. I can never pull those off, but I was making them work. I tend to make things work. And generally, it doesn't work well, but I make it work.
This podcast works well. You're the one that steers this ship.
Yeah, if it's like steering, I guess, like a giant tanker that is just running out of control towards...
Well, there's a documentary about that.
I'm sure there is. The one that got stuck in the sand earlier this year?
No, the guy that stole it and just fucking drove over everything in the little town he was in. He was angry, and then they ended up killing him.
Oh, all right. Ooh, Asian Joe with a good comment. Glasses will go well with the Macho Man jacket. I could loan out the Macho Man jacket to Mrs. Money. The glasses definitely look better on her. They're a little too small for me, believe it or not. Anyway, fellas, I guess enough about Christmas. We should probably talk about wrestling. It's been 20 minutes. Ryan's going to kill us.
We talked about wrestling. I got a ton of wrestling stuff for Christmas.
That's true. But we should talk about actual wrestling, live and on your television wrestling. So we should probably talk about Rampage last Saturday. Saturday Night Rampage, Christmas Night Rampage. From what I believe I saw online was that the ratings for the show, and we don't talk about ratings a whole bunch, but apparently the ratings for this show did really well. The Christmas ratings apparently gave it the highest ratings since Grand Slam. So I guess a lot of people were home and watching TV late on Christmas and decided to watch wrestling at 9 p.m. on a Saturday night. So it worked out in their favor, but there were a couple key things that we should probably talk about. We had Jungle Boy defeat Isaiah Cassidy. I don't think anybody thought Jungle Boy was going to lose this match, right? But I thought that was a pretty fun match. Miro had a promo. Where he's promising to come back, no flaws. You know, he doesn't want to be kept from his hot, flexible wife. So Miro is looking to come back and start busting heads. The big news of the night, guys, Hook, undefeated, baby. He just fucking skins Bear Bronson, made a rug out of him. And what actually maybe was the biggest shock to me of the night, Cody Rhodes defeated Sammy Guevara for that TNT championship. I'm with you, Matt. It was just a surprise. I was like, I was 60-40 split on this, right? And we could talk about this one, but Eric F. in the chat does bring up a good point. I didn't mention it. Hook no-sold the tombstone by Bear Bronson. Fantastic.
It's not a tombstone.
Whatever. But anyway, I was 60-40 split on Cody losing and winning the title. 60-40 in those odds. I said the only way I felt that he could win it is if they really wanted to throw like major heat on him. And it would just seem too short for Sammy. So I kind of was like, there's no way he's going to lose his belt. But it wound up happening. I mean, you guys, I think, saw this match. Matt, what did you think of the match and the outcome?
I loved it. I think they had him go over because there's a story there. I also think that they knew spoilers were going to be out there. And I think people love to hate watch. They fucking hate Cody so much. They're going to hate watch him beat Sammy Guevara. I thought the match was fantastic. Sammy makes some of these moves look fucking devastating. That crossroad he took, holy shit. I'm not against it, because I know this is just another way for Cody to put somebody else over either be Ethan Page or Scorpio Sky or, you know, somebody else who is not in the TNT title picture right now. Miro could get his title back. I don't know. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it either. I was sort of surprised that Sammy really only ran with it for like, what, 2 or 3 months? And only really defended it 5 times and was successful 4. It just seemed like a really short run, and they don't generally do short runs. So it was just a surprise to me. Schlong, what did you think?
A little bit of what Matt said. I think they knew that it was a good way that the spoilers would get out and people would want to tune in for Rampage on Saturday. I think they know what's going on with Cody, and there's no way to get more heat on him than to have him beat Sammy for a title. It depends on what they do with Sammy next is how I guess I feel about this going forward, because I don't want to see Sammy get thrown to the wayside for this Cody story, because you could have done it without hurting Sammy. So I'm not saying they did hurt him yet, but I want to see where he goes. Otherwise, I get it. You know, he's maybe the best, and it's by pure accident, the best heel in the company right now. I mean, people despise him for some reason. His promo, I know the answer to this. Did anyone watch Sammy's vlog this week?
No.
No. Did anyone see the clip online of Cody's promo at the end of it?
No.
Which I saw something, and I don't know where it is. I don't watch the vlogs, and I don't watch Being the Elite, so I don't know where it is. There was one where Sammy asks Cody to be part of his vlog, and Cody like tells him he's like a piece of shit. Is that old, or is that something new?
That's old. This one was he was sitting in his office and starts listing his accomplishments, but in such a dickish way. And it's the first time they've really had him do that on the vlog, so clearly they know what's going on.
Sure. Did you see his new t-shirt?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's fucking hysterical.
I'm thinking about ordering one. I did get a gift card, so I'm thinking about maybe placing an order. I'm also thinking about maybe getting a Hook shirt. I'm riding that Hook train all the way, baby.
Regular Hook or Send Hook?
I think Send Hook, unless they have that regular Hook shirt in black, white on black. I don't think they do, though.
Asian Joe says, wasn't it a Michinoku driver that Hook no-sold as a callback to Taz no-selling something similar years ago? I know Taz was famous for no-selling in ECW, and it may have been because Bam Bam Bigelow used it as his finisher. It was called Greetings from Asbury Park. And he had a great feud with Bam Bam Bigelow in ECW. Not the ECW you're thinking of, dickhead. I see the fucking wheels turning down there. You're going to say some smart-ass WWECW comment. Now, in the original ECW, the only ECW that matters. So
no, none of that counts.
Might be the callback there to why they had Hook brother no sell.
I will say this about Hook. You know, he looked good week one, and last week, I wasn't sure how they were going to kind of structure this match, right? Bear Bronson is way bigger than Hook. I was very impressed with some of the moves.
Sorry.
No. Now that you've called it out, I have to say it. Mike Peterson's right. WWECW is the only ECW.
I hate all of you.
And Rob Humphrey says Taz could get away with no selling a pile driver because he doesn't have a neck. That's also a very good point. You did misspell Taz, though, Rob Humphrey. It's Taz with two Z's.
I'll kill you. What do you mean he needs to fix his hair, Gina? His hair is glorious.
Yeah, sorry, Mrs. Money. I agree. His hair is perfectly fine. The whole thing is fine. But I was honestly, guys, I was really impressed with some of the moves that he was able to pull off on Bear Bronson. I mean, he's a big dude, and I know he's helping him, but he made those moves look effortless. The suplexes or the, you know, whatever he was doing, you know, basically tossing Bear around the ring was, I thought it was impressive. I thought it was another good showing from Hook. He's a killer.
Tony said it on the Monday Night Show, the Shining Wizard Wrestling podcast. He's fucking smooth, man. Hook is smooth.
He is. I mean, Schlong, should we be surprised that Hook is so good with the pedigree he has, the son of Taz with two Z's, WWECW legend Taz?
I think so, because, I mean, Taz has been mostly a commentator, if I remember my ECW days. But, I mean, just... I scored a point there. Just because, you know, you're the son of someone who was good doesn't mean you will be. I mean, there's a lot of examples of people who could not go in the ring, even though their parents were quite good. I think the smoothness is the most important part, because I don't think I've ever seen someone catch on, like be that smooth in their first two matches. Like usually it's a couple before they kind of get into that groove. So it's very impressive.
And I mean, it's, you know, again, kind of for me, it's like, okay, his first match against Fuego, you know, two guys similar size, you know, was expecting him to be able to do what he did. This second match, Bear Bronson, definitely not the same in the realm of being the same size. And he still looked as smooth. I was impressed. I'm telling you, Hook is going to be the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling. He's going to be all pillars in AEW. So they better make sure they've got guys that he can just run through. Eric in here saying, give Hook the TNT title. I don't necessarily disagree with it. At some point, Hook being the TNT champ, I could see it. Sorry, I was checking something else out. And yeah, I mean, honestly, guys, I thought that for a Christmas night show, I didn't see any of the spoilers ahead of time. I think that the one surprise being Cody, to your point, Matt, about the spoilers being out there and getting people intrigued to kind of watch it on Christmas. Good point, but you know, again, I think it's a way to kind of hook people into the show, right? No pun intended, but I think it's a way to get people kind of invested, right? Well, you know, Cody's going to win this title on a Saturday night. Okay. Like now you got to kind of watch the show, right?
No, absolutely. Look, they know what they're doing over there, and they know that people will hate. It's very similar to like the John Cena hate in the early 2010s, like, people would watch him because they hate him. Like, Cody's not stupid and Tony Khan's not dumb either. Like, come on, the fucking t-shirt is... That's not cramming it down your fucking throat. Babyface heel, and then it's got, like, the fucking dumb tattoo on his neck stamped in the box that says winner. Bah, people fucking hate that. It's brilliant!
Yeah. It's a great shirt for anybody who's... who's not sure. If anybody's watching here on YouTube or Facebook, this is it. heel, babyface, and then checked off. Winner. It's a perfect shirt. It's fantastic.
I agree. I concur.
So all in all, I thought it was a fun episode for Christmas, and an hour of wrestling on Christmas. So, yeah, now we're kind of moving into the end of the year, New Year's Smash tonight. But, guys, maybe we should take a break, kind of set ourselves up for, us to kind of get into the final rankings of 2021. We got to talk about New Year's Smash and a few, news items from this week. So, Matt, you mentioned it before, real quick, before we kind of throw it out to the break here. Matt, you mentioned before you're on another podcast on Monday nights, The Shining Wizards, every Monday night,
yep.
7 p.m.
Greatest podcast ever.
B show. But,
I don't, huh? I'm sorry, it's not on the Mark Order Network, is it?
It's okay. I can still say it's the B show.
You can say a lot of things. You do say a lot of things. You think Sue is in chaos. You think Taz is spelled with two Z's. You think WCW is the true. Greatest thing ever.
Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong. Sue, founding member of Chaos with Rocky Romero, right?
Correct, as far as I know.
Thank you.
You guys are a fountain of misinformation.
Well, Matt, either Pick way.
Up a fucking book. I'm buying you both books next year. I'm going to fill your pants with books, Ryan Schlong.
Just replace all his pants with books. So anyway, Matt's on The Shining Wizards on Monday night, 7 p.m.
I am every the Shining Wizards.
He is the wizard of The Shining Wizard.
I'm a wizard. I asked Kayla Sparks, who worked a bunch of AEW dark matches, if she ever smelled Hook's hair.
What did she say?
No, she never got close enough.
Well, that's smart. He's a killer. You don't want to get that close.
I also asked Sonny Kiss if he ever shit his pants, so.
And what was his response?
Nope.
Good for Sonny Kiss. Good for Sonny Kiss.
Yeah.
Well, that's the kind of content that you can get Monday nights.
We're a hoot.
What?
A hoot. We're a hoot.
It's, yeah, it's a hoot, all right. See, and look, Matt, Rob Humphrey's in here saying, what? We're on a network? That's right, Rob Humphrey. Because of The Shining Wizards, the Mark Order podcast is on The Shining Wizards network. And Asian Joe is unaware that there are other shows. Well, guess what, Asian Joe? We're going to tell you about some of those other shows right now. So stay tuned, and we'll be back right after this.
This is what you want to do, Asian Joe. Just skip the commercial block. All right, you know about The Shining Wizards. You know about the Mark Order podcast. Look, no one has time for seven other podcasts a week. Who has that much fucking time?
Can we,
They're fantastic shows.
Let's just do this commercial so we can get over it. I don't care about these other fucking shows either. Listen to some of the words from the other great shows on the Shining Wizards Network.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantemradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to shiningwizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb. And every week, we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Journey podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Journey.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode, we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
Hey, we're back on the Mark Quarter podcast. Before we move on, I want to remind you we have these free stickers you can get. If you'd like some stickers, just hit us up at Mark Quarter Pod on our socials. Send us a DM, your name and address. We'll send them anywhere in the world, so just let us know. We'll send them out for free. We got a few left, and then we got to order some more. I guess that's a good problem to have. I want to back up in the comments real quick because a couple things came through before we threw to commercial. And it's all regarding Hook, so we've got to discuss it because it's good stuff. Let's see. Kyle wants to know, who can look more nonchalant, Hook or Orange Cassidy? Schlong, what do you think? Who's more nonchalant here, Hook or Orange Cassidy?
It's a different type, I'd say, Orange Cassidy. I think Hook's got a little bit of anger in him. I think we're going to start to see Hook get a little more aggressive.
More aggressive. Matt, nonchalant. More nonchalant. Hook or Orange Cassidy?
Hook, 100%.
Ooh, all right. We're a split house here.
He can afford to be nonchalant. He doesn't have to make his living off of being a comedy act. Hook can be nonchalant because he'll choke your ass out. Orange Cassidy's just going to put his fucking hands in his pockets and make dumb faces at Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh, that's very true. That is very true. We'll talk about Kyle O'Reilly.
Maybe he'll throw you in a vat of orange juice.
It was a mimosa.
Fucking hand job.
Asian Joe made a good point, too, about Hook. Hook has gotten it as fast as Kurt Angle got it. Yeah, I mean, Hook seems to have picked it up pretty fast. So hopefully we see more good stuff out of Hook. And Mike Peterson makes a great point. This is going to be a Worlds Collide situation. Hook better be prepared for Marco. That's true. Marco
doesn't even have a job at AEW anymore.
Listen, when Marco Stunt goes on his run for all of the gold in AEW, he's going to hold all the gold. The championship, the TNT title, the tag titles himself. Wow. They'll even go after that women's and TBS title. And at some point when they have trios titles, he'll hold all those belts. He will wrestle everything handicapped. And he can do it.
Well, he's handicapped, all right.
Oh, boy. So, Matt, there are some rankings.
Oh, tonight. Joyous.
There's some rankings. Now, I'm not putting anybody on the spot, but somebody should let me know should they want to sing or wrap the rankings, because I was planning on just going through them. Does anybody have an objection to just going through them?
No objection here.
Okay. So here we go. These are the rankings for the 29th, released earlier today before the show tonight. In our men's division, we know our champions. It's Hangman Adam Page and the TNT champion Cody Rhodes. Our number one ranked male contender is Bryan Danielson. He'll have his rematch coming up next week. Number two, Adam Cole, baby. Number three, the War Dog, Wardlow. Number four, Jungle Boy, Jack Perry. And number five, a Scorpio Sky. Interesting. In the tag division, our champs are still the Lucha Brothers. Our number one tag team is Jurassic Express. They will have a title shot next week as well. We'll talk about the future Dynamite card coming up. Number two is the Acclaimed. Number three, the Young Bucks. Number four, Santana and Ortiz. And number five, FTR. And for the love of God, I really want to see Santana and Ortiz move up and make a push here at some point. And in our women's division, our champ is still Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Number one, Riho. They will fight at the Battle of the Belts. Number two is Jade Cargill. Three, Thunder Rosa. Four, Ruby Soho. And number five, Chris Statlander. Chris Statlander looks like she's going to start a little program with Legit Layla. So that could be interesting. All right, gentlemen, we're up to New Year's Smash here. Dynamite from tonight. The last Dynamite on TNT before we move to TBS. And the last Dynamite of the year. So we open up with the show and Jim Ross gets his entrance on, you know, TV as he returns to the commentary booth. It should be noted that he did say ahead of his return tonight that he is cancer free and he's pretty much back now. So that's good news from good old JR beating skin cancer. So all is well with him. Our first match of the night was announced late in the day. We got Christian Cage, Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. And the Lucha Brothers versus FTR. Sorry, I lost my spot here. FTR, the Hardy Family Office. And that was comprised of Private Party and Big Money Matt Hardy. So as we kind of cut through this match here, some shenanigans towards the end. It looks like our babyface team can't work well together. Christian Cage, you know, kind of gets involved at the end. He kind of, you know, tags himself in. Penta shoves him. FTR able to take the advantage, and FTR and the Hardy Family Office win by pinfall with the big rig from FTR on Christian Cage. Shlong, what do you think? Think of the opener, and clearly this story is, you know, this story is kind of ongoing, right, with Christian Cage and, you know, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus and the Lucha Brothers, right? So we're leading into this title match, so the story is kind of ongoing, and it's interesting to kind of see the role that Christian's playing. He looks like he's, you know, turning heel here a little bit.
So first of all, I love when you're Mike and video gets delayed for a second because then it tries to catch up with speed and it makes your voice sound kind of funny. So I can point that out. It's just, you know, it's like you're talking at twice the speed. You're that Micro Machines guy from like the early 90s. But I like, I mean, listen, you can't have this group of guys in a match and not have an amazing match. It's just physically not possible. Story-wise, I kind of like what they're doing. Christian is kind of the odd man out in Jurassic Express. He's playing that mentor figure, but I think you're going to get to a point where it's holding them back, holding both Christian back and Jurassic Express back, because they kind of get stuck in a pattern. So I'm actually hoping he turns heel, and he's a big feud for Jungle Boy, and he's like Jungle Boy's long, you know, his first long-term singles feud. I think that'd be a lot of fun for him. But I think before you get there, you're going to have the up and downs with the Lucha Bros and whatnot. I don't think Jurassic Express is ever going to hold the title, because I don't think they I think they're a vehicle for Jungle Boy at this point, rather than like a tag team that they're going to look to push. They have too many other tag teams that don't have a singles star like Jungle Boy in them.
Yeah, that is a good point. I mean, I just don't know kind of where we're going here with Christian Cage. I mean, Matt, would it make sense to you to have Christian Cage kind of go heel, maybe, you know, Jurassic Express kind of toys with kind of being a little heelish, but then eventually kind of kicks him to the curb? Like, what makes sense to you here?
I could see, that's my mic. It's real low now. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. Sorry, I couldn't hear myself.
Matt's toying with his mic. Uh-oh.
Listen, I'm going to choose my team based on who has the best figures. And whatever team has the best figures, that's who I want to win.
That's not how I pick them. Okay. I like the idea of maybe Christian turning on them, and then you can see a nice little Christian Jungle Boy feud where Christian puts over Jungle Boy, obviously. I think Ryan's spot on. I don't think Jurassic Express is like, you know, they're going to be the next FTR and hold the titles. I think they're a vehicle for Jungle Boy. And, you know, you get this story where they bring Christian, and he's the Wily veteran, and he's teaching them all this stuff, and they kind of have a little bit of history. We go back to that Battle Royal where Christian got eliminated by Jungle Boy last, and they kind of formed their friendship around it. But maybe Christian's a little jealous now, and he's starting to show those signs of being a little jealous heel. So I think it'll be fun. And again, to Ryan's point, the tag team division is just fucking loaded. And with Red Dragon tonight, you know, who knows what's going to happen with them, but they're definitely going to slide into the tag team scene. So having Christian, you know, maybe he takes on Luchasaurus one week, maybe cripples Marco Stunt the next week, I wouldn't be against that. And then Jungle Boy is the final. But I got a bunch of people like, you're upset about that, Anthony? Ryan's giving me thumbs down.
No one's going to destroy Marco Stunt. I mean,
if he was on TV, you'd have to write him off TV, but he's not on TV. And then if he does whatever, what's he doing, The Voice?
Yes.
You know, you just write him off forever.
Well, he'd have to win The Voice to be written off forever.
And just write him off anyway. You know, Concerto, one man concerto. See you later, Gator.
The one man concerto takes him out. Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with both of you that ultimately Jungle Boy is the star of Jurassic Express, right? So I don't think they ultimately get those titles. Maybe they get close, but you know, they're not going to have any sort of run. And then Jungle Boy at some point is off on his own. But either way, you know, it was a pretty decent opener. I think we're advancing stories here into the new year, into the new show, right? That's kind of the point of this whole thing. We'll see how it all plays out.
Like, do you think, I hate to interrupt you, and like,
sure,
could we see when Lucha Express goes after the tag titles, maybe Christian does some backhanded shit to help put them in a position to win, and Jungle Boy's like, no, it's not how we roll here in the JE, brother.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could be something like that, and we saw that happen, right, where they had this the street fight, and Christian hands Jungle Boy the chair, you know, and Jungle Boy kind of reluctantly takes the chair and, you know, cracks whoever it was across the head. So maybe something like that happens. I think a split will come at some point. And like I said, I could even see there being that kind of flirtation, like, well, maybe we do some heelish shit, but we don't feel good about it. And then eventually it's like, hey man, you gotta go. This doesn't work for us. But they have a few different ways, I think, that they can kind of get themselves out of this story. And, you know, Christian can kind of go do something else, but either way, we'll see how this plays out. When they go, come back from break, we get 2.0 and Daniel Garcia versus Eddie Kingston and Proud and Powerful Santana and Ortiz. Just cutting to the end of this match, 2.0 and Daniel Garcia win by pinfall with the Schoolboy and a handful of tights from Matt Lee on Santana. And then post-match, they are able to lay Santana out with the ring bell. And then Chris Jericho comes down to make the save for his buddies in Proud and Powerful. He's got Floyd out cleaning house. And then Jericho and Kingston square up and kind of jaw at each other. You know, it looks like they're about to start to brawl, but Ortiz gets between them. You know, Santana and Ortiz are kind of stuck in the middle of this whole situation, and it kind of diffuses itself. But Jericho is clearly now back. Shlong, what did you think about this? What did you think about the match? I mean, from my standpoint, listen, 2.0 and Daniel Garcia, I think, are a great trio. I love Garcia. I think 2.0 don't get credit for the good tag team they are, and clearly they do that. You know, they're the heel team. They win by pinfall with a handful of tights, so this kind of plays into their characters. But I thought this was a pretty good match, also seeing LAX reformed.
I mean, again, you're talking such good performers in a match. How do you not have a good time with it? 2.0 is severely underrated for their in-ring skill because they're so good at talking. Daniel Garcia obviously gets a lot of praise, and deservingly so. Really like the idea of the reformed LAX, whatever they call it. I hope there's more there, except obviously I want Santana and Ortiz to go off on their own. Not on their own so much as, you know, win the titles. But this match, actually this match back-to-back with the match before this and the main event, just makes me think, man, AEW really needs trios titles. One of these teams could have had the belt. It would give some, you know, stakes to some of these matches. You had a couple of them tonight. I loved the ending where they hit Ortiz with the, was it Santana or Ortiz they hit? They hit Santana. When they hit with Santana with the bell. And yep. Then Jericho comes out. It's such a small thing, but so good. And to have Kingston just standing there like, what are you doing? You make the save afterwards? Like,
yeah, and he also continued that you could see him saying, like, I don't need your fucking help. You know, so he continues that, you know, hey, I didn't ask for your help. I don't want your help. And now, you know, his buddies are kind of stuck in the middle. So they're continuing to play that story. And listen, if we at some point get Jericho and Eddie Kingston, I will certainly take it. You know, that's seems to be a good match on paper. You know, Matt, I don't think you got to see this whole match, but the way that the storylines play out here, you know, I don't know what's next for Daniel Garcia in 2.0, but I think that, you know, we certainly do need to see a little bit more of 2.0 in the tag division because they can bring it. And I think we need to start seeing a little more Daniel Garcia in some singles action against real competitors. I mean, him and somebody like Jungle Boy, you know, even taking somebody else from the tag division, like a Rey Fénix, right? Him and a Rey Fénix in a singles match could be lights out. There's a lot of talent here that we hadn't really got to see on TV. You know, anything you could kind of see lining up for that trio, like where can they go to next? Cause I'm not sure if this continues now with Jericho kind of inserting himself, getting in the middle of, you know, LAX.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what direction they go. Cause they could do now, you can do Jericho and Santana and Ortiz against 2.0 and Garcia. And you could do different, you know, right. And then they can lose again. And then Eddie Kingston will be like, well, you're not the fucking answer. You're not the answer to beating them. There's a lot of different ways I think this can go, and I think this is a good spot for them because you could see, you know, obviously the Inner Circle's an easy fallback for them. You could see Daniel Garcia, Sammy Guevara.
Yeah.
Which I don't think would be bad. I think Daniel Garcia, you know, proud and powerful against 2.0 and just tag matches is not a bad thing. But I think the story is really going to, I think this is just a another chapter in the story. I think it's going to end up Eddie Kingston and Jericho. I think that's the way they're going, and I'm okay with that. It's not something I'm like, it's not Eddie Kingston, CM Punk. It's not Kingston Moxley, but it's not something I hate.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess the best way for me to kind of put it, like you're saying, it's like, I didn't necessarily think I needed it, but I love the idea of it after seeing them face to face tonight and sort of close to blows. So yeah. And I didn't even think about Sammy Guevara kind of inserting himself with Daniel Garcia. Cause you're right. They could definitely do this sort of like Inner Circle versus 2.0 and Garcia, maybe Sammy Guevara gets involved, you know, and that's, that also just kind of, you know, I wasn't even thinking of it, Matt. That kind of brings up a point, right? Like, Santana and Ortiz haven't really won anything of value here. Jericho was just out. You know, Sammy Guevara lost his title. Maybe these guys come back together, not necessarily like a whole program for the Inner Circle again, but maybe these guys sort of come back together to support each other to go on some sort of, you know, little run as singles competitors, right? Because they realize like, hey, we're not doing anything separated. We might as well come back together and help each other out. I don't need them to do a whole program like they did with American Top Team, but maybe we see them start to support each other a little bit more now.
Right. If you, and I'm sure Tony Khan and those guys over there take a lot, especially if Rocky Romero's doing stuff over there, they take a lot out of the New Japan playbook where they have their factions and it's not necessarily they're always involved with each other, but in an instance where there's a double team or a triple team, those guys are there because they have their back. But at the end of the day, it's not LIJ against Chaos. It's, you know,
right.
Sonata versus Big Tom, and then shit fell apart and someone got jumped and the other guys just came down to save the day, but it doesn't turn into a huge storyline. So I think it's a failsafe that they've created. You know, this makes sense. Who's going to come and save Santana, Ortiz, and Eddie Kingston? Oh, shit, Chris Jericho.
Right. It made total sense. Well, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. And then we move on from this match into an MJF promo and says that perhaps another wrestling company might treat him properly, but that's a question for the bidding war of 2024.
Are we gonna have to hear about this for the next fucking 2 years from this fucking hand job?
Listen, I will say this. I love the fact that they're leaning into it. I love it. Because it came up in the sheets, you know, what, a couple weeks ago, that like, hey, the WWE is interested in MJF and they're, you know, kind of asking questions and blah blah blah. I love that they lean into it. I love that they don't hide from it. So I'm actually okay with him playing this card. And the fact that he's talking about it, you know, essentially 2 years ahead of schedule is fantastic for me. I love it.
I can't. But my problem is this going to be something he brings up every fucking week for the next 2 years?
Probably not. I think he pulls it out when he needs to because it's such a annoying thing to do.
Because didn't he use it in Long Island?
Honestly, I don't remember. That seems like forever ago. I just don't remember. But that was definitely right around the time that I think that news popped up that, you know, the E was interested in MJF when he becomes a free agent.
And let's be honest, if you own a wrestling company, whether it W whatever fucking three letters it is, you'd be silly not to fucking want MJF.
I agree.
It's not a surprise. It's not like them saying they want to bring fucking Cody back.
Yeah, no, I agree. If you're anybody who wants to try to do anything, you want somebody like MJF. Now, if you're MJF, to your point about bringing this up like every week or something like that, but if you're MJF, when your time does come, do you jump ship for The E. You're both shaking your head, and I agree with you. There's no way you leave. I mean, you said it. You're a pillar of this company, and I think you pretty much get to do whatever the fuck you want to do as MJF. You stick around, because if you go to the E, they're not going to let you do what you've been able to do for pretty much your entire career.
Right. When you have stockholders that you need to answer to, you can't go on social media and make fun of a fan in a wheelchair calling him lazy for not standing up to shake your hand. Like, you cannot do that.
No, you certainly can't.
Among the thousands of other things and shit he gets away with, it's not possible. He's not unless they fucking build him a room in fucking Titan Towers rent free. He ain't going nowhere.
No, I agree with you. Anyway, back to this promo. He starts to tell Wardlow that, you know, he'd better start winning his matches quicker. No more Powerbomb Symphony, because he's got to rack up the wins. He's got to win his shot at the TNT title. And then when he does win that TNT title, he's going to relinquish it to MJF. And apparently Wardlow has forgotten the stipulations of his contract, because they call in Smart Mark Sterling to read through the terms of the contract that says any titles he might win are property of MJF. And Wardlow does not seem very happy with these terms of his contract and doesn't necessarily recall those terms. And, you know, it looks like we're continuing to plant these seeds of a breakup, right? I mean, we've been calling it for a while now. This needs to happen, or it's going to happen. And now the past 2 or 3 weeks, they've been definitely giving bigger chunks of the fact that Wardlow's not happy here. And I think that this was a really good way of kind of telling that, you know, hey, you signed a contract, asshole. Your titles are mine. That's not going to make anybody happy. So I thought it was a nice small promo to continue to plant those seeds. Matt, you want to say something or make a comment here?
I do. So if you listen to enough of any, you know, the Bruce Pritchard, the Eric Bischoff's podcast, it's when do you turn a heel face? It's when they're at their hottest. Everyone's looking for the Wardlow turn. What if it's the other way around? What if Wardlow turns on MJF? Right? Like, look, they're planting all these weird seeds, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing nobody sees coming is Wardlow doing it. And not in a good way, in like a dastardly, like heelish, you know, he fucking takes a chair from Shawn Spears and beats the dog shit out of MJF for no good reason.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it happening, but they've not planted those seeds. They've been giving us reasons to have him turn, you know, and it's a face turn. So if he did it that other way, like, I think it could definitely be more powerful, but they've already planted too many seeds, you know, in everybody's mind for me. I just don't know. My only problem is I don't necessarily know, like, why we'd care, right? Because, like, Wardlow hasn't done anything, right? I mean, he's been getting all these wins. He's ranked now, but he's been getting these wins, squash wins over everybody. He hasn't really had a substantial, you know, match against anybody. He hasn't necessarily won anything. And I think that's, again, you know, kind of MJF's doing, right? He puts him out of the Diamond Ring Battle Royal and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of, I guess, part of the reason, but it's almost like at the end of the day, like, why do we necessarily care? Is it just because MJF's being mean to Wardlow?
It's like an underhanded thing. You know, he's seeing Wardlow stock rise. He's in the rankings now. MJF's not in the rankings, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden we are finding out at the same time as Wardlow that if he happens to win a championship, is the property of MJF. So, you know, like you said, they're just leaving you little breadcrumbs. Like, we found out at the same time Wardlow did, and he looked just as fucking surprised as the rest of us did. Obviously, right. It means more to him. So maybe it's just another thing to put in Wardlow's back pocket. You know, maybe Wardlow has an opportunity to win the TNT championship and he won't do it because he doesn't want it to go to MJF. Who knows?
Right. That's a good point. And Schlong, they MJF also did slide into this promo. I forgot to mention, Matt, but MJF did slide into this promo the fact that next week he's going to start getting his wins because he's going to start climbing up the rankings. So, Schlong, can you see this going the same way as what they've done to Wardlow, right? Feed him all these, you know, kind of nobody, you know, kind of matches. You know, just to get him his wins. Or do you think maybe they do something here where MJF has to have these matches with, you know, people who are actually, you know, kind of skilled, and maybe he starts to complain that Wardlow doesn't have to have these types of matches. MJF has to have tough matches. Why doesn't Wardlow have to have these matches? Could this turn into another, you know, kind of, dagger that MJF could throw towards Wardlow?
Well, Wardlow's gonna win the diamond, the whatever battle royal, right? That gives you the title shot. They have that coming up.
Yeah, they said there's some a ladder match coming up. I don't know when. They just kind of mention it in passing, but you know, that's what he's saying is you've got to win that ladder match. You've got to stop with these powerbomb symphonies and just get to business, because you've got to keep yourself healthy to win this ladder match so you can get the TNT title shot, and then you can win it and hand it over to me. But MJF is saying he wants to start racking up wins to get ranked and get his shot at the championship, the AEW championship.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just, I don't know if they're going to go that route. I think they set up that Wardlow's going to win his title shot through the battle royal or ladder match or whatever it is, and then MJF's going to say, okay, it's mine, and then Wardlow is going to say, I read that contract too, or there was this clause in the contract. He's going to have a way out, and even though it's predictable, I'm going to love it, because it's going to be that fun moment where Wardlow gets his one over on MJF and reveals that Smart Mark is a terrible attorney in wrestling, which I think needs to be further explained. So I don't think they're going to worry about with the match order. It's just solely going to be he's going to have to give up his shot, and he's just not going to do it. I also don't think they're going to turn MJF, because it would be a twist for a twist's sake, like a swerve for a swerve sake. Like, there's nothing right built into that character to go face. He is as heel can be. So they've given him nothing that would make that make sense.
Is he as heel as heels can be, though? He's a fucking cool heel.
That's heels anymore, though.
Yeah,
people. Yeah, but that's not like, just because people cheer you doesn't mean you're gonna, like, he may get cheered, but you're not gonna suddenly have Wardlow be dastardly and it's gonna be like, well, MJF's just the good guy. No, MJF's still gonna be the bad guy who just gets cheers.
One more thing before we move on from this. What if, since he's still embroiled in the CM Punk feud, what if MJF's matches are against those lesser opponents that CM Punk wrestled, Lee Moriarty and QT Marshall?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to talk about what CM Punk came out and said later, but it sounds like, because MJF did say in this promo, again, my apologies for leaving some of the details out here, but MJF did say, I'm done with CM Punk. You know, right now there's nothing to be done here. So I'm going to start racking up wins to get my shot. So I think clearly they're going to cool off MJF and CM Punk. And then we'll talk about CM Punk later, because they're definitely going to bring them back together and there's going to be something of value on the table. That's just the way I see it working out. I will say Joe Walsh did mention, attorney at law Joe Walsh did say that is an unconscionable contract, and I would have to agree. I don't know why anybody would sign such a contract. Poor Wardlow needs to get a better lawyer to read through his contracts before he just signs on the dotted line. Anyway, we go to commercial and come back with Christian Cage and Jurassic Express confronting the Lucha Brothers, and Christian Cage basically says enough is enough. We're going to challenge them to defend the tag titles next week. And Penta accuses Christian of not being a good partner and tells Jungle Boy to let go of the past. And then he and Phoenix accept the challenge. So we are going to get a title match next week. Jurassic Express versus the Lucha Brothers. That should be fun. after this, we do get into our Wardlow squash match of the night. Poor Colin Delaney versus Wardlow, and it's just a huge lariat. Powerbomb followed by a second powerbomb. Delaney is trying to kind of get himself clear, but we get the third and fourth powerbomb, and Wardlow wins by pinfall with the powerbomb symphony. As poor Colin Delaney is leaving the ring, he gets the extra chair shot from Sean Spears, who I laughed very hard at Sean Spears hitting him very hard in the back with the chair and then turning around to Wardlow and yelling, "I got him." It was just very funny. So again, really, I mean, Schlong, unless you have anything to add here, I'm going to keep going because this was just what we continue to get out of Wardlow. And then moving on from this, we go backstage with the Super Click and Red Dragon.
I'm sorry. I am aghast, Anthony.
Why?
You such a proponent of this WWECW, and you don't even mention that Colin Delaney is a WWECW legend. How fucking phony are you?
I mean,
a farce.
Listen, we're not here to talk about Colin Delaney.
Oh, and WWECW's own Colin Delaney, which you completely glossed over in, and I think it came out of Schlong's nose.
Listen, we're here to talk about AEW.
Oh, we're here to talk about
not AEW. Talk well, about the past and Colin Delaney's historic WWECW run.
And I think it's time to admit that the reason Matt's pushing it so hard is because soon on the Shining Wizards Network, as part of their Patreon exclusives, is going to be Matt talking about WWECW for hours on end, watching every match, analyzing it, and telling you why it was better than the lesser regular ECW. So Matt wants to talk about Colin because it's important to him to push that new podcast.
No, I think if we're going to bring up Taz's twosies, ECW, WWECW run, it is, you owe the listeners, perhaps the Rob Humphreys of the world, the Asian Joes, aren't familiar with WWECW. All right, maybe K-Man 847, who wants his ass cheek smooched, right? Maybe he's not familiar, that probably is just a troll, maybe he's not familiar with Colin Delaney's WWECW run. So you have a responsibility as a podcast journalist,
okay,
to inform the listeners. You cannot just throw out the term WWECW and not inform people who was part of such a historic promotion.
Okay. And all this can be found on Matt Reviews WWECW.
Well, to give a quick download on Colin Delaney, he was with in the run from 2007 to 2008. He debuted and was beaten by Shelton Benjamin in 2007 on WWECW before getting squashed by Big Daddy V 2 weeks later. He also was on the January 8th, 2008 episode. He was beaten again by Mark Henry. He was squashed by Kane in the Great Khali. He also went on to be defeated in a handicap match by the tag team champions, The Miz and John Morrison. He was also further attacked after the match. I mean, how much he was saved by Tommy Dreamer, WWECW legend Tommy Dreamer.
See, now look, Rob Humphrey, not familiar with any of this. I came back to wrestling with the launch of AEW. You owe it to Rob.
Well, I'm going through it right now. He did get his first win in WWECW.
Thank you.
On the February 26, 2008 episode, where he defeated The Miz and John Morrison in a tag team match with Tommy Dreamer. So it wasn't a singles win, but he did get a win.
And what was the date of that?
February 26, 2008. Is Matt checking my work?
No. That just happens to be a Wednesday. This year, 2022, we should celebrate the 14-year anniversary of Colin Delaney's first WWECW win on February 26th here on the Mark Order Podcast.
Mark your calendar, Matt, and we can certainly have a celebration. he and Dreamer also challenged The Miz and Morrison for the tag team champions in an Extreme Rules match and came up short. They came up short, but in the subsequent weeks, WWECW general manager Armando Estrada informed Colin that he would have to acquire his first singles victory to win an official WWECW contract. He unsuccessfully faced a number of superstars, including his mentor, Tommy Dreamer, whom Estrada threatened to fire if he lost the match. But finally, on the May 6, 2008 episode of WWECW, Delaney defeated Estrada himself to flip via a sunset flip to win the contract, which he legitimately signed in February. He lost his first match as a WWECW superstar against Mike Knox. He was also beaten by Estrada. Let's see, blah blah blah. Great American Bash.
How do we ban someone?
Why? Because
Kyle K. Sparks, Colin Delaney, Tommy Dreamer, greater than Cactus Jack and Mikey Whipwreck. How dare you, Kyle?
Well, correct me, Matt. Maybe I'm mistaken, but did Cactus Jack and Mikey Whipwreck ever wrestle in WWECW?
Oh, you son of a bitch.
So then, I'm sorry, Kyle Sparks is right.
Kyle Sparks is incorrect. And
Schlong?
The only way he gets a pass is if he's related to Kayla.
Well, I can't confirm that, but Schlong confirmed the fact that he's right, because if Cactus Jack and Mikey Whipwreck did not wrestle in WWECW, it doesn't count.
Asian Joe, we need Shining Wizards WWECW watch-alongs. Jump up to that $3 tier, brother. There's one in the can. It happened about a year ago. I sat down and watched an awful WWECW, a whole episode. Oh, my God, Ryan's turned into... You son of a bitch.
He's stealing bits.
This is just a catastrophe.
I don't do the voice, but I just want everyone to appreciate the best version of Taz.
That's right. Two Z's. Taz with two Z's. If we're going to keep going down this rabbit hole, Estrada defeated Delaney, was defeated by Delaney after being defeated by Matt Hardy moments earlier. Estrada then got removed from the roster.
See, Matt Hardy, it all comes together.
That's right. At the Great American Bash, Delaney turned heel by costing Tommy Dreamer his WWECW championship against Mark Henry. On July 29th, however, on WWECW television, he lost to Matt Hardy, which caused Mark Henry to turn on him. Next week, Delaney remained a heel and helped Estrada beat Dreamer to earn his WWECW contract. There's a lot of you have a contract, you don't have a contract bullshit going on here.
Sounds awful.
It did lead to an Extreme Rules match against Dreamer where he was easily defeated. And then on August 15, 2008, Delaney was unfortunately released from his WWECW contract due to what? What do you think? Why was he released?
Lost the match? He lost the contract?
No, Matt, that's silly. Budget cuts. Budget cuts.
You got me.
Budget cuts. If it is any consolation, Delaney returned to WWE in December of 2017 on SmackDown in a squash match, teaming with Juan Francisco de Coronado in a losing effort against the Bludgeon Brothers.
Kid Toucher.
And then he made one more appearance on December 19th episode of 205 Live, losing against the debuting Hideo Itami. And then on July 10th, Hideo Itami?
Never heard of him.
On July 10th, 2018, 205 Live, Delaney lost to Lio Rush.
Oh, see? Look at that. Full circle.
Then he wasn't anywhere, and in 2020 shows up in AEW on Dark, teamed with Sean Spears in a losing effort to the Best Friends. And then on the 21st, on an episode of Dark, he lost to Eddie Kingston, and tonight gets beaten down by Wardlow. So if there's anything to Matt, you know what? I'm glad we went through this history lesson for WWECW legend Colin Delaney. Because if there's anything that his story tells you is that you can be a successful perpetual loser. That is the best looking champion. God. That is the best looking championship that WWE ECW ever had.
Negative.
That's the only WWE ECW. That's the only belt with ECW on it that actually matters.
How dare you?
Everything else is fake. So guys, if we can get back to the show after our history lesson here.
People love the WWE ECW segment. Kate on Deck IC is a big fan. Not familiar with her work, but she's a huge fan of this.
Yeah.
Asian Joe thinks it's fantastic. He also makes this ridiculous statement. Vince McMahon was the greatest ECW champion.
Boy. It's true.
It's what true. Happens next, Ant Money?
So we get a backstage segment with Superclick and Red Dragon. And Adam Cole says they're going to go down as the greatest faction in history, and Matt Jackson is very skeptical. Kyle O'Reilly asks for a minute to speak to Cole. The Bucks say anything that O'Reilly can say to Cole, they can say to them. But he insists he speaks only to Adam Cole, and Adam tells the Bucks to leave. Kyle also asks Bobby Fish to go, Fish leaves, and he continues to tell Cole that things have been messed up between them, and tonight he knows Bobby has his back, and he's going to have to find out if Cole does too. So we're not really sure what's going on with Red Dragon. There's some mistrust going on between Adam Cole and the group. Schlong, anything you want to say about this segment? Again, they're kind of planting seeds here for the fact that all's not well between, you know, Adam Cole and Red Dragon, and Adam Cole's kind of stuck in the middle of two groups.
Nothing really to add. I just like they're acknowledging the history of that Adam Cole and O'Reilly just had, since they just had a huge feud. It's stuff like that that makes them, you know, really cool that they don't just ignore other stuff happened.
Yeah, I mean, and it all goes into the main event of the night. So we're going to talk about that match coming up. And guys, we've got to get into maybe the best segment of the night. Dan Lambert in the ring yet again. He's complaining about how much Cody Rhodes sucks and how he's turned Arn Anderson from a horseman to a whore, which is a perfect segue to talk about Brandi Rhodes, who's the first Brandi he knows that isn't a stripper. But he knows that Cody has gone through a lot to try and make it in pro wrestling. And AEW fans might be idiots, but even idiots don't like the taste of the shit sandwich they're shoving down their throats. That's when Brandi Rhodes enters the ring.
Of course she does.
Listen, she can do whatever she wants. She looks great.
All right.
She calls Lambert a bargain basement Paul Heyman. And he says he prefers Jim Cornette. So a very hot Paul E. name drop.
Goddamn.
And a Cornette name drop. There you go. Hello, Jim.
You're fucking Vince McMahon and a fucking champion, motherfucker.
He was the best champion that WWE ECW ever had.
Give me more power and glory. Okay.
Oh. Lambert says the sound of Brandy's voice makes him wish he was getting his balls stapled to his legs in the street fight he had against the Inner Circle. And then she asks him when the last time he was beaten up by a woman and didn't have to pay for it, because she's going to do him a solid and whoop that ass for free tonight. She continues to take off her shoes and her earrings and all that kind of stuff. And Dan claims he'll beat her up. And she says he might be a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but she's a black bitch. I'm sorry. That's when she takes off her heels and her earrings and starts to get ready for a fight. That's when Dustin Rhodes comes in to make the save. And then all ego Ethan Page blasts him as he and Lambert and Scorpio Sky leave the ring. And we get the hype up for the rest of the show. So, Schlong, what did you think of Dan Lambert and Brandi?
You know, I wasn't a big fan of this, but I know Kate loved it, so I really feel like I should praise it on her behalf. You know, this was her favorite segment of the night. No, this fucking sucked. I don't get this at all. I really don't. Now that there's not even any MMA guys, it makes less sense because you're really giving two guys who can talk someone just to talk. And he's, I get he's a heel, so he's saying heelish things, but it's just like, all right, bud, we've heard this shit a million times. Make fun of her for the other, the things that you could actually make fun of her for, you know, not like stupid childhood, you know, childish jokes. Like, you can make fun of her for her wrestling ability, for the fact that she seems to want to take up as much TV time as possible, all that. And then her coming out, I'm glad that she got her to yell back, but this makes even less sense knowing where Cody is right now with his character to give him this type of heel to go against. I don't get it. I'm glad the matches we're going to get out of it, but I don't like the actual segment. You don't need to, like, it's not 2001. We don't need to hear this shit again. Be more creative.
I mean, she's coming out to defend her man. I don't know why she felt the need to come out and defend Cody, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, Dan Lambert pretty much called her a stripper and then said she's not hot. So I just don't understand the thinking there. I just was very confused. I did like the Paul E. and Jim Cornette name drop, but that was about it. Matt, any interest in Brandi Rhodes getting involved here?
No, I have no interest in any of this. And again, I said this 2 weeks ago. Can a woman put a microphone in her hand and not say bitch about anything? That bitch, you're a bitch. I'm a bitch. Everyone's a bitch. Bitch.
She's a bitch. We're a bitch. We're all bitch. Hey, I'm a bitch.
Wait, what is that from, Schlong?
I'm a dude.
Oh, she's, that's right.
A dude. He's,
yep,
a dude.
Good, we're burger. All dudes.
Yep.
There you go.
I have zero interest in this. I get why Dan Lambert is there. It doesn't mean I have to like it. And I hate Brandi getting involved even more. If she's sticking up for a man, that's kind of like a chicken shit thing. Like, maybe Cody sent her out there. Like, hey, go stick up for me. I don't know. It's just, I could care less.
Well, here's an interesting thought. I don't think it's going to happen, but Asian Joe poses this. Imagine if Cody aligned himself with Dan Lambert. Again, I think it's an interesting thought, but there's no need for that to happen.
What if it's Dustin?
Dustin, I mean, at least makes sense because he's, yeah, old, so he could say, I like the old way of things. Cody, again, just wouldn't fit with, even in his heel form, the character that he puts out there. But Dustin, I could at least see the logic. I wouldn't like it, but I could see the logic.
Would you? So let's just paint a picture here, right? Cody, Dustin, title versus career at Revolution.
Cody, Dustin, title versus career. I mean, listen, they had that great Blood Brothers match early on. If they're going to do something like that and that's how this is lining up, then I'm for it because they had a great match and I'm sure they can have another great match. Dustin can still wrestle and Cody can too, despite what everybody says. I'd be okay with that, but I mean, it just, for me, it's almost like, how are we going to get there? Right? Like, how is Dustin all of a sudden going to be like, you know what? I need to align myself with American Top Team and Dan Lambert. I don't know. I would be okay with that, Matt, but how are they going to get it there?
Look, I'm sure there's a way. Cody gets everything he wants. Dustin's in the background. Why doesn't Dustin get a TNT championship shot? Why doesn't Dustin get all the opportunities? He's not on the big show. He's not the fucking EVP. He's got to train the women. He's got to work fucking dark. I'm sure they can go 1,000 different ways where Dustin says, yeah, why do I get treated like the fucking stepbrother here? I should be in your position.
Yeah. I mean, it could work. It could certainly work. Especially with Cody kind of being this heel, not a heel thing, right? I think it's easily a way that he could push, you know, kind of his brother away. So I think it makes sense.
And Dustin's not going to wrestle forever. And I think it'd probably be Dustin would probably want to go out against Cody, you know?
Yeah. I think that's probably the way it would go down. By the way, I don't know who this Kate on Deck I see is in the chat. She's making some good points. We should maybe invite her onto the show sometime.
She can't move.
Apparently. All right, so we're moving on from Dan Lambert. We have nothing else to talk about Dan Lambert. Guys, and maybe one of the most I'm going to say disappointing moments of the night was the Jade Cargill Thunder Rosa quarterfinal TBS championship tournament match. And I say disappointing, not because of the outcome, because I think out of the four of us, three of us thought it was going to go this way. And Matt was the wild card thinking maybe they swerve it at the last minute and kind of rewrite the way that they were going to go here. But we'll get to the commentary on the match. Just cutting to the finish here. Jade Cargill wins by pinfall with Jaded, but only after Thunder Rosa has a bottle broken over her face by a masked intruder. And then post-match, Thunder Rosa goes to attack Jade Cargill, realizing, you know, hey, I lost unfairly. And then the masked person makes a save and starts to beat down Thunder Rosa with Jade. As that person unmasks, it winds up being Mercedes Martinez. And they beat down Thunder Rosa until Ruby Soho comes out to make the save with a steel pipe. Now we're kind of off. They run off Jade Cargill and Mercedes Martinez. So a couple things here, guys, from my perspective. I think we all knew that this match had to be carried by Thunder Rosa, right? We knew Jade was pretty green. We thought this was probably going to be a questionable match. And the crazy thing here is, from my perspective, I felt actually like Thunder Rosa wasn't 100% on top of her game tonight. There were a couple, like there was one spot she was going off the ropes and she either slipped or changed her mind at the last minute. It was awkward. She looked gassed at one point in the middle. You know, some people, I think maybe were joking, maybe not, saying it takes a lot to carry somebody like Jade through a match like this. But, yeah, I just thought Thunder Rosa seemed off her game tonight. I'm not sure, you know, Matt, if you felt the same way. Just kind of sticking to the match at this point. We'll talk about the other stuff afterwards. But, I mean, is that how it seemed to you? Or maybe that's just how I viewed this thing? I was kind of disappointed more so with Thunder Rosa because we know what we're getting from Jade.
I don't think you're far off. It's a lot, though, to carry someone like Jade. And this, you know, they talked about it on commentary. This is the longest match of Jade's career. But even like the weird drop kicks in the corner to the leg, like, you know, and then her doing the pop-up Samoan and then the nip up. And then she sells the leg injury. It's kind of like, I'm not going to compare them to The Undertaker, Steve Austin, but it's like The Undertaker, Steve Austin. They just did not. I just don't think they work well. I think it's a contrast of styles. I just don't think they work well together. It's a lot for her to carry Jade. Jade's green as goose shit. Look, there was a lot of nice. The pump kick was awesome. There was some great stuff here, but overall it's just, and this is why I thought Thunder Rosa was going to win. This is, I don't think Ruby, look, if Thunder Rosa is having a hard time carrying Jade Cargill, right? Like it took a lot out of her. Look, Jade's a big girl, you know, that's a lot to, and if you know, Thunder Rosa is a perfectionist. I think they asked her to make a fucking ribeye sandwich out of a fucking pile of shit, to be honest with you. I just don't think it worked out.
Yeah, I had higher hopes for this because we've seen Thunder Rosa be able to kind of carry people through some of these matches, but I don't know. I mean, Schlong, we'll get your take on it too. I thought that they were doing an okay job of telling a story with the knee and the leg, and then all of a sudden it seemed to go away and then it came back. You know what I mean? Like it just wasn't consistent, so I wasn't sold on it. We felt this was going to be the outcome and they held to it. But Schlong, I mean, where did you see this match kind of fall short? Did you see the match fall short, and where did you see it kind of lacking?
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and defend this as a classic. I don't think I'm as down on it as either of you two. I like the story of Thunder Rosa being really the first person to take it to Jade like this. She had a smart strategy. I put the leg selling thing to me is 100% on Jade, in the sense of like, that does seem like a someone who doesn't have a lot of experience giving up on selling early, when that was such a good story to be telling throughout that match. Like, you're facing someone bigger and stronger than you, you take out their base. It's done in MMA. It's not like that is a fighter's move. Again, I didn't see, like, Thunder Rosa looked a little tired, but at the same point, I was only half kidding when I said it must take a lot to carry a match like this. I also do think it does take a lot to carry a match like this, because you're the one who has to constantly make sure you're in position. There's a couple times, where you could see that, like, there was the one time she tried to go off the ropes, and you could just tell Jade was not in the right spot, so Thunder had to change it. I think that stuff physically does take a toll on you, because your body's having to adjust at a super high speed to, you know, fix it. I mean, it's not the only, I wouldn't put it all on that, but I would think that definitely, that definitely played into it. But this match, the ending is perfect. I was texting Sick Kate at this point, being like, "Oh, that's Rebel or a Hater." Having it be Mercedes is the greatest thing they could have done, because I don't even care about the match right now. It's like, I knew Thunder wouldn't win. Let that go to the title. And we've set our pieces about that. But in terms of the way this match ended, bringing in someone of Mercedes Martinez's caliber and having her first feud be someone like Thunder Rosa is perfect. I mean,
I definitely want to talk now, you know, getting into Mercedes Martinez. So I think that it's great for them to bring in Mercedes Martinez. She's got skill. She's official. They gave her the graphic immediately. So she's all elite. She's in. And I think that's good. I think that the one thing that this fell short on was the crowd did not seem to know who she was. Like, it was silent. And I don't think it was a stunned silence. I just don't think enough people maybe know or knew that it was Mercedes Martinez in that moment. But I think sitting at home on the couch, you know, I was like, oh, wow, like, this is intriguing. And I'm with you, Ryan. I think that having, you know, this kind of start be with Thunder Rosa, because that's going to be where this goes, right? Thunder's not going to be able to touch Jade now. So it's going to be Mercedes Martinez. I like that. I think it's good. Matt, you know, I guess Mercedes Martinez, I think we've already kind of said a good kind of signing for them and smart at this point. Where do you see them being able to go with Mercedes Martinez?
Oh, God. I mean, to your point, like, I think we're at a point now where, like, you know, I think Jamie Hayter got the same reaction. If you're not a WWE NXT woman wrestler, like, people don't fucking know who you are. It's not the worst thing in the world, but, man, you know, at home, I was the same boat as you, Ant. Like, I thought it was either Tegan Knox or Mercedes Martinez. And I don't know about the 90 day. I don't have a fucking calendar that I keep track of all these goddamn releases, because you can't keep track of all these goddamn releases. But Mercedes Martinez is the best option out there. She is a fucking workhorse. She's a machine. She was on Impact. She won, they did like a Queen of the Ring. She won that. She had a fucking banger with Deonna Purrazzo or Mickey James. She's fucking good. And that's something that they, you know, I know people really like the Rio and the Shida, but I think they need to get away from those types of, like, Mercedes Martinez is a hoss. She can fucking bang. Like, her and Thunder Rosa, that feud, as much as I'm like, well, this means we're not going to get Thunder Rosa Britt right away, that feud is going to be, that's some fucking Walter fucking Dragunov type. They're going to beat the shit out of each other. It's an awesome move by Tony Khan. Awesome.
Schlong, what do you, what are your hopes for Mercedes Martinez here?
Well, first of all, I just want to point out, because Kate said it, and she was actually an NXT gal, which is the funny thing. But I think part of the problem is, unless you're, like Matt said, unless you're one of these huge signings, And I think unless you're predicted to be signing there, people are kind of like caught off guard. No one thought she was coming to AEW because they thought it would have happened already because she had wrestled other places. So I think, I hate to say it, you know, people, obviously O'Reilly was a bigger factor, but one, he didn't cover up any of his face or body to start. And two, people knew it was coming. So like, as soon as you saw him debut, you're like, oh, it's Kyle O'Reilly. Whereas with her, you're like, wait, this could be one of 10 people. Who the hell is it? So I think when you're there in person, it's hard to be like, oh, that's who that is. You might still be trying to figure it out just because there could be one of 10 people. But she's amazing. Kate said it again. I'll hate to keep going back to her, but like maybe she can do like an agent thing. I would like to see someone of her style start to do some of the agenting for women's matches. She appreciates obviously women's wrestling, but she has such a hard hitting style, but she still can go in the ring. I don't want her to stop that at all. She's a very believable wrestler. She adds a level of toughness that I think the division could use, and she's a heel that they need. I don't think she's going to have the title, but you now don't have to just rely on the Bunny and Penelope to be the mid-level heels. You have a Mercedes who can be in big feuds with baby faces who aren't quite going for the title yet, or she can win the TBS and someday just have awesome matches after awesome matches.
Yeah, this was a good signing for them, and it's going to be fun to see what they do with Mercedes Martinez, because there are a few different ways they can go, you know, we'll see what happens. We're going to talk a little bit more about women later. They do give us a video promo for Britt Baker versus Riho at Battle of the Belts. That'll be happening on the 8th of January. Really nothing much to say here. And then CM Punk makes his entrance to the ring and gets on the mic. This is the first time he's appearing in front of the crowd at Daly's Place. CM Punk has not been to Daly's Place, so this was his first time. He says he doesn't know where the setup is. He asks where Jim Ross is, and he says it's awesome to see him back in the booth. He's all about giving people their flowers, and while they're still around and being in Daly's Place, it got him thinking about Brody Lee. So he calls out, the fact that if anybody is trying to minimize the impact that man has, he feels sorry because it means that they never met him. And he sat home and watched the tribute show to his friend from this place, and it made him want to come to AEW. So then he gets to thinking about someday who's not worth his time, somebody who's not worth his time and doesn't want to be there. And he's talking about MJF, the Twitter troll in the flesh, somebody who talks a big game but won't say it to their face and hides behind a keyboard, or FTR, who has the gall to compare himself to Roddy Piper, who laced up his boots when Max laced up his running shoes last week. He goes on to say that MJF says he's done with him. That's fine. He got to team up with Sting and Darby Allin and beat him. He wants to move on to bigger and better things, and so does Max. And gunning for the AEW championship is what Punk wants to do as well. He says that MJF is a waste of, this was a great line, Ryan. He says MJF is a waste of Khan's money. A bigger waste of Khan's money, than, oh my God, I'm spacing on the name.
Tim Tebow. I didn't
write it down. Tim Tebow, thank you. Which I thought was a great, great line in Jacksonville. And he found out the hard way on the mic, in the ring, and on commentary, nobody can touch CM Punk. And if MJF wants to climb the ladder and get some W's to challenge for the gold, he'll see him sooner or later. It'd be a real shame if somebody interfered with his quest for gold. So, Matt, you know, you were talking about, I think CM Punk and MJF before. So clearly, I think, you know, they're cooling that off a little bit. And we'll pick it back up as these guys are both kind of going to be looking for maybe a title shot down the road. But I thought this was a perfectly fine CM Pants segment with fresh haircut. I don't know, Schlong, do you want to make any comments about this promo? Anything that stood out to you?
Besides that Tim Tebow line, no. I mean, it was okay. The thing I did like was the fact that he pointed out that MJF really wants the gold, and it just would be a shame if someone got in his way. That is, that's such a good line.
Yeah. I mean, those were the big takeaways, right? And of course, the Khan's money thing. Matt, what did you think about Phil tonight?
I was actually in the kitchen making my leftover tacos for dinner, so I could hear it, but it was not something I went in there and watched. So,
well, I think they're clearly just kind of telling you where they're going here, you know, and wanted to put him in front of the live audience at Daly's place for the end of the year. We do get a Ricky Starks promo backstage with Will Hobbs. He welcomes JR back, thanks him for freeing up Taz to keep honing Hook's talent, and calls out Dante Martin. He says eliminating him from the Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royal was a mistake because he's going to keep him from winning anything big. Hobbs also asks Dante if he really wants to do round two with him and tells him to marinate on that. We also get a recap of Cody Rhodes winning the championship, and then Sammy Guevara makes his entrance to do the picture-in-picture cue card gimmick, and we get a break. Not sure if you guys want to talk about anything there, but I'm going to keep pressing forward. Sheeta gets a package and calls out Serena Deeb, accepting her challenge for a rematch. Okay. Brian Pillman comes into the ring and gets interviewed. He says that the sound of the bell ringing over and over when Black tried to end Griff Garrison's career will play in his ears forever. And when he made the save, his memory went black and he ended up on the ground next to the man he was trying to save. He didn't know his father, but he knows you only get one life and he's not giving Black his. So he basically calls out Malakai Black. The lights go down. Malachi's in the arena in a spotlight on the ramp, takes his mask off. Lights go out and he disappears, but the camera doesn't fucking cut away. We saw all the magic and how it's done. And Pillman's alone in the ring. So I don't know if you guys have any comments on any of that stuff. Matt, I know that I think you had mentioned before you were hoping for something better here in the Pillman segment. I think I was too, but I have a feeling maybe next week we might get a surprise.
Yeah, I heard Pillman in the ring, and I ran from the, we were in the middle of making round two of leftover tacos. I told Rhiannon, I got to go see this just to see this, the worst hair in wrestling in his dumb varsity jacket.
Great Venom t-shirt, though.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. You want to play with your fucking action figures? Go ahead. I'm just, man.
Pot calling the kettle black.
I know. I don't play with them, first of all.
Yeah, okay.
That's why I don't know Luchasaurus's leg falls off.
You know your Dark Helmet from Spaceballs. You're in your room playing with him. You're somehow the main character, and as soon as Ree walks in, you're like, no, you didn't see it.
I wish I had the time to do that. I'm also not looking forward to, I think we're gonna get a nice surprise next week in Newark, but like I'm in the same boat. Like we were at Arthur Ashe, right, for MJF and Pillman, and I just didn't give a shit, and I'm kind of there with this. Like, I know it's the greater good is going to be hopefully Brody King, but I still, like, I just don't care. I mean, I get to see Malakai Black, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, not really much else to say here, but I was with you. I was like, oh, maybe maybe next week.
I'm just going to say this real quick. If Brody King is there next week, and we know he's coming, but if his surprise is next week, make sure he gets the proper reaction, because I feel like he could get like a Mercedes reaction where half the audience may or may not know who he is because he's coming from ROH. Now, AEW does have a lot of those geeky fans who watch that stuff, but
I mean, he does have exposure in other places that AEW fans, I feel, watch, right? Like New Japan and stuff like that. I mean, to be honest, I almost feel like if you like Brody King, I feel like has made himself a big enough name where I feel like most people should know who he is. But I'm with you, Ryan. When he does show up, I hope he gets the respect he deserves. Yes, Matthew.
Even if you don't know who he is, though, he is an imposing. If he comes out with the fucking ski mask on, the jacket, and then he takes it off and all the fucking tattoos, like, he's like a sit up in your seat. Holy shit, look at that guy. So even if even if people don't like Mercedes Martinez just took off her mask and you're like, oh, that's a woman. I guess she's a wrestler. Brody King is like a, oh shit, look at this guy.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he's definitely a who is this monster and what does he do? But it's coming. We just
who are these people in this chat? What is this? Rob Humphrey. He wrestled in New Japan. Is he another senior citizen like all the other guys? Rob Humphrey, what are you talking about, buddy guy?
Rob Humphrey, I'll just ask, did you do your homework? We said Google Brody fucking King.
Is this guy trolling me?
I don't know.
A little bit. I think a little bit.
Or is he just basing this off of all the guys that AEW has brought in?
But guys, what if it's the zombie? The greatest WWE CW wrestler of all time.
That's true.
And kind of like a mystical character like Malakai Black.
You know, he's really dead, right?
No, I did not know that because I don't follow that closely.
Even I knew he was dead. Come on, Ryan. He's dead. Poor guy. Not just in a zombie way, like in a real way.
Real dead. Really dead.
Real dead.
Okay. There's lots of wrestlers that way.
That, you know what? Fair point.
Yes. Even Frankie the Macaw is dead. What? Okay. So moving on, they hype up the card, but we do get a couple promos in the card hype up. We do get a acclaimed promo ahead of their match where the Anthony Bowen says he'll beat Darby Allin's My Chemical Romance looking ass all over the arena. And then Sting and Darby get a promo, and Sting says he treated every match like a main event when he was just starting out. And Allin says it doesn't matter where he is on the card, he'll be ready. And that's when they start to hype up the card for next week. So we know that on Rampage Friday night, we will get a TNT title match, Cody Rhodes versus Ethan Page. That, I guess, came out of the interaction early in the night. Darby Allin with Sting versus Anthony Bowens with Max Caster. We will get Penelope Ford and the Bunny versus Tay Conti and Anna Jay in a street fight. And Schlong, I think what will be the segment of the night Friday night, we're going to get Technique by Taz. They plugged it. We're getting Technique by Taz where he's focusing on Hook, baby. Hook is ratings. That's what that says.
Red rum. Red rum.
He's a murderer. And then we know that on the TBS Dynamite debut, January 5th from Newark, New Jersey, that 3/4 of the Mark Order podcast will be at. We're going to get Hangman Adam Page versus Bryan Danielson, number 2, with judges if it does wind up going to a time limit draw. We're also going to get the TBS title tournament final, which is now set as Jade Cargill versus Ruby Soho. We will get Malakai Black versus Brian Pillman Jr. Hopefully we get a surprise, Schlong. And then we will get a tag title match, the Lucha Brothers versus Jurassic Express. So the first show on TBS has a lot of potential. Hopefully maybe we get a surprise or two, but I think right now the announced card sounds pretty good. I don't know about you, Schlong.
No, I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Going to go to next Wednesday, but
yeah, no, but I would even say too, just seeing the four matches that they have on the card, they're doing 3 title matches, the Malakai Black match,
it's going to be insane.
Yeah. To me, the fact that they're, you know, promoting Malakai versus Brian Pillman makes me think we're getting a surprise. But again, I think that 3 title matches, your first show on, again, the mothership TBS, it's a pretty strong show. Trying to get kind of a new audience, maybe some new eyeballs on TBS, and have your fans move over like 1 or 2 stations on the dial. So sounds like a smart card to me. And then, of course, on the Battle of the Belts the following Saturday night. Right now, we know that we're getting Riho versus Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, in our women's title match. No other matches that I know of, Schlong, have been announced for that show. That's the only one.
That's all I know. So, and I an hour format, the whole thing is still kind of weird. I'm waiting to have them describe that a little bit better.
Yeah, it's I just don't know what they're doing. You know, we talked about last week, an hour format is just kind of odd. We don't know what else we're getting. They need to announce something. They're trying to get, you know, kind of, you know, people interested in this. I just don't know what they're doing here. So anyway, Schlong, let's move on to our main event. Adam Cole and Red Dragon, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly versus the Best Friends, Chuck Taylor, Orange Cassidy, and Trent. Yeah, I know we're calling them, you know, the Best Friends, but in reality, Schlong, we know it. It's original chaos.
It's chaos. I just didn't want Matt to lose his shit. Turns out he's off killing cats or something, so he isn't going to hear this, but I didn't want to upset him.
Well, we know it's original chaos. You know, let's cut to the end of this match to give the results, Schlong. Adam Cole and Red Dragon win by pinfall with Chasing the Dragon on Chuck Taylor. And then that all comes about because towards the end of this match, the Stooge. Sorry, I'm reading something.
Brandon Cutler.
No, I know. Somebody sent me a message. I was just reading it. My apologies. Nothing important. Brandon Cutler comes down, the Stooge with the cold spray. The Best Friends knock him down, but Bryce Remsburg is distracted, and that's when the Young Bucks come in. Super kick party on Chuck Taylor. That sets up the Chasing the Dragon for the win. So post-match, the Bucks pull Adam Cole away while Red Dragon celebrate their win. And in the end, we only go over about a minute because they said they were going to stick with this until it finished. It goes to 10:01, and that's the end of the show. It should also be mentioned that towards the end of this match, Kyle O'Reilly puts a boot to the face of Adam Cole, who was standing on ringside or standing on the apron. So, again, like some of those things, Ryan, that we were talking about earlier on, where O'Reilly was basically talking to O'Reilly was talking to Adam Cole about, like the trust and the issues they have, like, will they be cool? You know, those things kind of come into play here at the end. What did you think about the match and maybe what they're going to do here with Adam Cole and Red Dragon?
So, match, of course, like I said earlier, when you have teams like this, how do you have anything but a great match? You know, the Best Friends don't get enough credit for just how good they are. You know, I'm not even going to talk about Orange Cassidy because I praise him so much, but just the Best Friends themselves, don't Chuck Taylor and Trent, don't get enough credit for being that good. Obviously, whatever they're going to call the Undisputed Era, those three just came off at a huge run in NXT when NXT was at its best. So those three are amazing. So it was a really fun match. I will say there's a couple things I want to point out. One, Chasing the Dragon is a great finishing move name. It's just, I get why they probably couldn't, you even if they had gone in as Red Dragon into WWE, I don't think WWE would have let them use that. Everyone has like the pet peeve in their pet peeve in wrestling. Matt doesn't like when wrestlers go to the top rope in a battle royal or Royal Rumble, yada yada. My thing I don't like is, and it happened in this match, is when Cole gets kicked in the face by O'Reilly by accident after the match, he's so pissed off. And my whole thing is, why? You know what happened? It happens all the time. I wouldn't get mad at my buddy if we're in a fight and I'm holding someone and the guy ducks and I get punched in the face. Like, shit happens. I just don't understand. Like, that, I love the tension they're building, so I can't be mad at that. That always drives me nuts where they're like, yeah, he accidentally hit me. Yeah, go watch the video. You will see that he didn't target you. Actually, earlier in the match, he threw you out of the way from getting hurt.
Yeah, and you know, that'll probably... the way that AEW has done some of the things, like, you know, like FTR and their losses, all they haven't been clean. Like, you know, there's been some shenanigans. Like, I feel like that could come up in the story, right, Ryan? Like, hey, I pulled you out of the way. You know, that probably will come up, you know, in something, you know, as we move forward. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's like, he didn't mean to kick you in the face. Somebody moved, and I'm with you. It's a trope that they lean on a lot, right? Like, hey, I got hit in the face. And it's like, well, yeah, but didn't mean to hit you in the face. Like, somebody moved. But I'm with you. It's interesting too, because we're sort of, this is a very similar situation, right? To, Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho, with Proud and Powerful kind of being stuck in the middle. But this is sort of the reverse. Now there's two tag teams and Adam Cole stuck in the middle. And at the end of the night, it looks like now he's kind of aligned a little closer to the Bucks. But I think it could, there's still time for it to swing the other way. And I have a feeling, Ryan, that maybe all of these guys are going to come together and realize, you know, hey, we can be a powerful faction. Of course, until Kenny Omega comes back.
Yeah, I mean, I do think this story is about biding time until Kenny comes back. You have the inevitable 3-on-3. I think what you're going to have is, I could be wrong, but I think what you're going to have is, in the next couple months, they come together. They're really working well. Then all of a sudden, maybe Red Dragon and Adam Cole start to get a little bit more success. Kenny comes back, like, what the fuck? Boom, it explodes. You have an awesome series of trios matches. Maybe by that point, there's trios belts, so one group can hold the god, like, because that would be great. Maybe that's how you split them up. There's trios belts, and maybe Adam Cole and Red Dragon win the trios, and the Young Bucks are like, why didn't you go with us?
Listen, I think in the end, when the time comes for Kenny to get back, or to come back, that this can lead to some really sick kind of faction battles, right? Like, just think about the matches we could get where now you have Kenny and the Bucks versus, you know, Red Dragon and Adam Cole. I mean, you know, we're talking Bucks versus Red Dragon. We're talking a singles Kenny versus, you know, Adam Cole. Like, we thought maybe Adam Cole was going to try to, you know, they had been planting the seeds on kind of being the Elite and some other things where it's like, hey, you know, I know you're leaving. I'll take care of things. And, you know, Kenny's like, well, I wasn't talking to you, Cole. I was talking to the Bucks, you know? So, there's a lot of ways that they can kind of go once Kenny comes back, but I'm intrigued by the story. Listen, first showing, you know, Kyle O'Reilly hasn't been out of action very long, but I think for his first showing back, for people maybe who weren't familiar with him, this is a nice first match. He looked good. The moves looked violent. The tandem offense that they pulled off, as well as, you know, Trent and Chucky, because they haven't really wrestled together in a while, right? This is maybe their, what, second match back? Yeah. I know they took the L, but, you know, they even have some really great tandem moves that they were able to pull off. So, you know, if this is just the first and kind of a few that maybe we're going to get out of Red Dragon and the Best Friends, I'll even take that. You know what I mean?
Yep, I'm with you 100%.
So all in all, I think this was a pretty good kind of final 2021 show. There were definitely some low points, but I think all in all, you know, we're getting pretty consistent TV out of AEW, right? It's just kind of fun, consistent storytelling, and, you know, they're heating things up and cooling it off as needed.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to have at least one or two matches that you really like, and then you're going to have at least one decent segment of just talking. But really, the thing I think I like most and I could appreciate most about AEW TV is they don't leave the realm of logic often. And at least, so even if it's not a great show, at least they've applied logic to it so that the next episode is better.
Yeah, I mean, it's what's kind of crazy is the fact that, like, we're coming to the end of the year, right? And they're getting ready to start a new essentially series, right, on a new network, even though it's the same show. And they're not like wrapping everything up. They're adding more fuel to the fire for a lot of these stories. It's just, to me, what I find great about that is the fact that, you know, in some places you get to the end of the year and they're like, all right, we're wrapping up all these stories and we'll start fresh kind of in the new calendar. And that's not what they're doing here. They are fueling more stories to push into the following year. We're not just starting from scratch. I'm sure that some of this stuff will kind of end right in the first quarter of 2022 as we get towards the pay-per-view and things like that. But I mean, there's so many different ways. I mean, we talked about it tonight. So many different ways that can maybe get out of the Kingston, Jericho, you know, Proud and Powerful stuff and the 2.0 and the Garcia now with the Young Bucks and, you know, Red Dragon. Like there are so many, as Millionaire Matt likes to say, spoons in the porridge. It's just interesting, you know, not the best show they've put on, but an enjoyable show, good wrestling stories. You know, what more can you ask for out of episodic television?
I'm literally been more songs. You nailed it. There's nothing. This is why it's my favorite wrestling program. And I'm not brand loyal. If it sucked, I'd tell you. And if I was watching something else, but I just like that. It's always at least decent. And it never insults my intelligence. That's all I ask from a show.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. I know we sometimes come off as homers when we say that stuff, but it's the truth, man. If it didn't capture my attention, I wouldn't talk about it the way we do, you know. So Ryan, some news and notes over the past week to get into here as we kind of get ready to wrap things up. And your camera goes out of focus now. I'm just looking at a zombie.
That's the one downside to putting the zombie stuff behind me. It always looks to pick up something like that.
Well, either way, some news and notes. Listen, it came out today, breaking news, we got to talk about it, that Toni Storm is now out at the E. It wasn't clear earlier in the day kind of what, you know, happened, but PW Insider did come through a little bit later and said that they believe Storm asked for and was granted her release. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just, bodyslam.net, friend of the show, cast reported.
Your friend.
Your friend. He's your friend too. He bought you water at Grand Slam.
He didn't buy me water.
You didn't have water?
Nope.
Oh, well, he's my friend because he saved my life and had me water.
There you go.
But
listen, I keep everything even level here. I'm not a homer to anyone. Go ahead. What did Cass say
to me?
I know.
So anyway, after Sean broke the story, he went to his sources. She didn't ask for her release per the people he talked to. She straight up quit. She paid her own money and flew home after the house show. And yeah, because they've just had all the releases, they were just kind of like, okay, like what do we, like, how do we tell her she can't now that we just cut all these people?
Yeah. Well, that's, I was going to say she did fly herself home from Baltimore. She was set to appear at a house show, on the, you know, tonight, the 29th. But it is being reported that she did ask for a release and apparently is now granted it because she left. The note from PW Insider was that the internal memorandum about her exit didn't mention budget cuts, as most other releases have this year. So that's why the belief was that she had, I guess, asked for a release and was granted it. So take whichever source that you will, but either way, she's out. They didn't cut her. She's out. So she will certainly have some sort of no compete, but she will be free after that. Now, Shlong, the reason I even bring this up, you know, we get Mercedes Martinez tonight. It's worth talking about now. Like, you have to look at Toni Storm, I think, and maybe make a decision on, is this somebody you'd want to bring into the company? Do you think she would fit in the in AEW? Listen, I'll say this. I haven't watched any of the E recently. From everything I've been reading, she was called up to the SmackDown roster in July. It was announced that she was being called up, and she had a loss to Charlotte Flair on Friday. I believe there was some sort of pie fight storyline they were telling. But I am familiar with some of her work in NXT UK, you know, before I kind of stopped watching the E when it became, you know, uninteresting to me. And I really felt like she has skill. She has some talent. She can go. Maybe her size is not the best, but looking at her schlong being a viable option as a woman that you could bring in has some name. Do you think that she's an option for AEW?
So one, I'm going to start off by saying, yes, I think I'm trying to remember who else has been released recently, but of the other one that I could think about is Ember Moon. So like they're the two big ones now. Her and Ember Moon to me are the two biggest. She actually, I think, would fit perfectly in AEW. She wrestled in Japan. She's been in the UK. Like, she has that harder hitting style that I think would work really well. And she has a very good character.
You said two names and then you just said her. You're talking about Tony Storm would be a
Tony Storm. Sorry.
Okay. No,
that's my fault. Yeah, I got these pronouns. I mean, but I'm just saying there's now two names out there. There was one that I was waiting on. Now there's two because these are the two big stars. But if you're AEW, you're seeing someone who clearly WWE saw something in her too. They put her in with something with Charlotte, which, yes, it was over pie throwing, but it was still a storyline with Charlotte. Her call up was because Bayley got hurt. So they weren't ready to bring her up. They just felt like, oh, Bayley's hurt, so we have to bring up a bunch of women. It was just poorly planned. She's going to do really well, I think, wherever she goes. But if I'm AEW, you're just starting to make some really good headway in your women's division, bringing in her, bringing in Ember Moon, bringing in Mercedes like they have. Now you have Serena Deeb really catching on again. You'd have as good of a women's division as you can get at that point. They just got to go out and sign her. I'm very curious what her non-compete's going to be because of the nature of how she left. You know, she quit. She was granted her release, but will there be a non-compete or will they say, fuck it, just we're not even paying you, go? Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, those details will have to come out somewhere. I would think that if, whether she quit or was released, right? Whichever site you're sourcing, I would assume in either one, you would have a standard non-compete clause, unless they, like you said, they just say, fuck you. You know, you can just go wherever you want. We'll pay you. But I don't know if they would do that. They rarely do that, it seems.
Yeah. Kate pointed out Nixon Newell, who I think was Tegan Knox, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought she was going to bed. Go to bed.
I'm guessing that she's really fucked up by this shot. I've never seen something like COVID. Her body loves COVID, but it hates it at the same time. It's the funniest thing in the world. But so you have to bring in her, I think. I guess if she says no, but I would bring in her. I'd bring in, again, Ember Moon. All of a sudden, your women's division is stacked. Which means you have to do more than one match per episode. You have to do a couple of matches per Dynamite.
I'm gonna throw this out there just because you brought up the name Ember Moon. I was never really hot on Ember Moon. I thought a lot of her moves look super telegraphed. And that was really the only beef I had with Ember Moon. I think athletically she can do everything, but there were a lot of times in her matches where I'm like, oh, here it comes. Like, she's just, it was super telegraphed. I think if she can work through that, she would be really good. And I'm not saying that nobody in AEW like telegraphs all their moves, because it doesn't telegraph their moves. You can see it all over. But I felt like for her, somebody who's, you know, doing a lot of the moves she did, it looked just a lot of like timing. Like, I've seen it with some other, you know, men and women where it's like you can almost see in their head they're counting like steps or timing. But if she can get past that and just look a little more fluid and natural, I think she'd be killer.
I also think, I mean, I don't want to necessarily blame the WWE for that, but they definitely have a preferred style and they have a preferred pacing of a match. So I could see her being like, okay, I want to fit these moves in here, so I have to hit this pacing here, do this here. Whereas I'm hoping in like an AEW, they don't really care. They'll have any style match you want. So maybe she won't seem as, because I know what you're saying, but maybe she won't seem as predictable when she's not trying to get her moves in a style that's not really suited to her.
Right.
But even if that's not the, even if, you know, she doesn't get past that, I still think at her lowest level of predictable moves, she provides some awesome stuff that you have to, I mean, just based on the fact that she's at least at that high level, they need those women. They need to completely have a full women's roster. And then maybe you can have a tag division too.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we've kind of said it before too, right? Like they've got a bunch of contracts that are going to be coming up in 2022. So they have to make some decisions specifically on the women's side. Now we've signed Mercedes Martinez. Sorry. I almost got the names mixed up. They've just signed her essentially. Like if you want to say Schlong, okay, they've replaced, you know, Swole who left. Right. And now Mercedes Martinez is back in. I'm sure they're going to have a number of the women who are not coming back under contract. Maybe they're not going to rely on some of the Japanese women that they have in the past because, you know, COVID and all that stuff is still a nightmare to deal with, travel and countries shutting down and all that kind of stuff. So maybe there's some more room for them to bring in additional women and not have to, you know, nix everybody's contract that's coming up. But I think that there's, from a women's perspective, there's a lot of talent out there that they could certainly sign. I would love to, like Schlong, I would love to see Willow in AEW. I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's before we even get into the non-WWE right. talent that's been
right.
Trisha Dora, Willow. There are yeah. some.
So there's going to be some decisions that they have to make. But either way, Toni Storm was the big news of the day, so I wanted to discuss it here. The other news is we mentioned before, CM Punk brought up Brody Lee. Schlong, can you believe it's been a year since Brody passed? I mean, the crazy thing is Mrs. Money and I were sitting on the couch watching him when he said that. I turned to her and I said, I feel like that was ages ago. And that's not like, I'm not trying
that's
to,
COVID.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's anything bad. I'm just like, it's crazy to think it was only a year. It seems so much longer. But there was a lot of outpouring on his anniversary, you know, from AEW, put up a bunch of stuff, a lot of wrestlers. You know, we're putting up tributes and stuff online. So it's all out there. But yeah, one year since Brody's been gone. And man, what he could have had in AEW now that the fans are back. The fact that he never got the full live crowd during his run at AEW, his debut, his title run that got cut short because he got sick, you know, just crazy to think what could have been out of Brody Lee and what he could have been involved with at this company. Just crazy and sad to think of.
Yeah, I have nothing to add because you nailed it.
Also came out today, Schlong, that Keith Mitchell, a longtime producer, was retiring after tonight's AEW Dynamite. He was a veteran pro wrestler and producer. Producer and director Keith Mitchell was finishing up his career tonight after Dynamite. He's had a 40-year career spanning world-class WCW, Impact, and AEW. Keith Mitchell is moving on. Schlong began his career in the 80s with world-class championship wrestling. And like I said, WCCW, WCW, TNA, Impact Wrestling, and AEW. He was with AEW since 2019. Keith Mitchell's retiring. What a crazy career, huh?
Actually, I don't know much about him aside from like reading what I read.
Yep.
But the fact that he can name all the companies he's been everywhere, and he's probably had bigger impact on stuff I like than I would ever know.
Yeah. I mean, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens after he leaves, if there's any changes to kind of the look or the feel or the production of the show. But that's pretty cool, man. He worked for a lot of pretty big companies and some of the alternatives to the big guys. So best of luck to Keith Mitchell. Happy retirement. Schlong, the other thing that we found out was the Lucha Brothers and FTR that war is continuing to rage on. AAA announced that there's going to be a TV taping in Merida, Yucatan with the Lucha Brothers versus FTR for those AAA tag titles. It looks like they're going to get that match. It's going to take place January 30th. So we'll see what happens there. Shlong, any thoughts? Do we think that FTR are going to drop those titles back to the Lucha Brothers?
There's a good chance. It should be a shame. I like seeing them walk out with gold. But then again, maybe AAA really does like the idea of two non-luchador heels running in their luchador division. Like, that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's listen, if what do you think about this, Shlong? Ready? FTR, well, maybe it can't happen with COVID and stuff, but now we're being, you know, totally you know, fantasy booking here, but FTR retains those titles against the Lucha Brothers, and then who shows up in Mexico? The fucking Briscoes. I don't think it's going to happen, but that would be crazy.
That would be insane. I don't ever see it happening, but that would be insane.
Yeah. I think that we're going to get that at GCW, to be honest.
Yeah. I think that that's going to be where it happens.
But Lucha Brothers getting their shot back at those titles. Shlong, the other thing that came out is Tony Khan, in an interview with TV Insider, revealed that AEW will continue to expand their roster beyond the signings that they made in 2021. He said, "I do think I have to be more discerning than ever in talent acquisition because we have such a strong roster. I was aggressively expanding with the launch of Rampage. We made some big signings in the past, including CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole, Ruby Soho, Thunder Rosa, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Andrade El Idolo, Malakai Black, Christian Cage, and many others. We've also continued our partnerships with great international companies like New Japan Pro Wrestling and Lucha Libre AAA. We have a lot of great talent working, but it's time for me to be more discerning than ever in terms of acquisitions. Yes, we will continue expanding the roster. Absolutely, there will be more people coming into AEW. So again, as we kind of were talking a little bit about Tony Storm, I think that, his talk about being more discerning might kind of lead into what we were saying about there's contracts coming up. I think he's going to cut some of those contracts and maybe look into some additional talent that's maybe a little bit stronger. So maybe that means some of the talent we've been seeing on the darks don't come back, but we get some other guys. You know, they did add Lee Moriarty and Daniel Garcia to the roster this past year. Not huge names, but, you know, really good wrestlers. But, you know, I mean, honestly, Shlong, some of the names still out there: Keith Lee, Isaiah Scott, John Morrison, Ember Moon, Tegan Knox, Grand Metalik, and these are, of course, just names from the E. Tony Storm just became available. And then apparently, I guess, at the end of February, a bunch of additional contracts are going to be coming up in the E. You know, it might be that time of year. So who knows? I mean, it's a good problem to have, right, Shlong? I mean, we were just talking about Tony Storm and all that stuff, but I mean, it's a great problem to have, right? Like, we've got so much strong talent, we've really got to be choosy in 2022.
Yeah, I'd rather have AEW have too much good talent than struggling to find any good talent.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the roster moves that they make in 2022 and maybe see some people who don't come back. You know, even think of some of the names, the bigger names, Shlong, like we haven't seen Brian Cage on television, you know, in a long time. So we'll see what happens. Shlong, the final piece of news for the night. And unfortunately, Matt had to take off and deal with some issues, but all's well. But I wanted to bring this up. I was saving the best for last because recently it came out that Sonny Kiss revealed in an interview a key role he played during AEW pay-per-view, And says that he helped put together the memorable entrance for the Lucha Brothers in their tag team championship steel cage match against the Young Bucks. Sonny Kiss said on the Shining Wizards podcast that I was one of the dancers and I choreographed the routine. That was me. That was me behind the mask and all that stuff. And so I asked Cody Rhodes that same night, should I be doing this? Like, is this okay? Does this make me look bad? And he was like, no, not at all. So, Sonny Kiss also went on to basically talk about, you know, getting advice from Rhodes when he was feeling uncertain about his role. And, Sonny Kiss said, that he was basically assured, or reassured and encouraged to find other ways to stand out. Shlong, the reason clearly I wanted to bring it up is because the article that I came across on WrestlingInc.com is heavy with quotes and some of the things that were pulled off out of the Shining Wizards podcast. I guess those guys are okay. They did a good interview with Sonny Kiss. You should check them out on the Shining Wizards Network every Monday night at 7 p.m. There's some interesting stuff. If you didn't hear their interview with Sonny Kiss on Monday night, you should go back in the archives and take a listen.
Yeah, that was a great interview. So everyone should go listen. It was 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks ago. And Kayla Sparks was this week, and that was also a great interview.
Oh,
so
yes. Should
listen to their stuff.
Yes, my apologies. You're right. That was, 2 weeks ago. Yes. Well, Shlong, that's it. We're done. 2.5 hours later, we're finally pulling this train into the station.
Well, we lost the member. We had a time.
We did. We started out the 3-man band tonight, and we wound up the 2 live crew. What better way to end 2021 with, I guess, the Mark Order Podcast A team, right, Shlong?
Yeah, I mean, we seem to be the ones always here.
I don't know those other ones. Well, Shlong, what I can say is in absence of our other two hosts, as we've kind of been putting over all night, we joke with Matt. But Matt helped get this started, this Mark Order podcast, even when we were part of the Shining Wizards as bonus content. So we're always grateful to him and thankful for helping us do this in 2021 and continuing on through 2022. We bust his chops. But breaking down the fourth wall, Matt, even when he's not here, we're super bummed that he can't be here because he adds a lot of fun to this show. He'll be back with us hopefully next week. But you can check out Matt every Monday night on the Shining Wizards podcast, 7 p.m. on the Shining Wizards Network. Find them on social. Get in the Discord that they have. it's a lot of fun. They've built a great community that we're happy to be part of. So you should check that out. Kate is not here tonight because as a shoot, she's not feeling well. She was boosted today, but I swear, Shlong, you're right. If she gets a third dose of COVID, she should play the fucking Powerball because that is a marvel of modern science. But we love Kate. We miss her when she's not here, even though she's all Hollywood on us.
Hollywood Hensler.
That's right. You should check out Kate. You can follow her at Kate on Deck IC on Twitter. I don't know where she's going to be at all times, but I know Friday nights or Tuesday nights she does the Sour Graps with the NXT show. Wednesday night she's here on the Shining Wizards Network with us, the Mark Order podcast, when she's not sick. Friday nights, she is on Fightful with SRS doing the Rampage and SmackDown post-show. So check her out there. And then she does a bunch of other stuff in between. So follow her on social to see where she's going to be appearing next. Shlong, what do you got going on?
Right now, just catch me Mondays and Tuesdays live tweeting AEW Dark and Elevation. Otherwise, I'm here on Wednesdays. You'll follow me at Mark Order Pod because that's all I use. And that's it. So, Shlong and good night.
Any dates that you have for what you recorded, or are you still working that out? With
they haven't told me the date yet, so right. I am on.
We'll plug it when it comes time. No worries. And as far as I go, you know where to catch me right here on the Shining Wizard Network as part of the Mark Order podcast. If you would like to get some of these free stickers, follow us on our social at Mark Order Pod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. Follow us, shoot us a direct message, leave us your name and address. I will mail it out personally to you wherever you live, anywhere in the world. So just let us know. It's free for you. We'll foot the bill. Also, if you're listening to us in podcast form, we thank you. Wherever you're listening, whatever platform, make sure you like, subscribe, you know, rate, review, whatever you can do to help us show up higher in their rankings or their whatever. I've lost track of the words at this point. If you are watching us on YouTube, thank you very much. We appreciate you hanging out and watching us live on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. If you are listening in podcast form, we do suggest you check out one of the video formats at some point. They're always up for you to watch after the fact on our YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter pages. So give it a look. You can see Ryan pulling up all his pictures in the background. We pull up the rankings and I'll do all that sort of stuff. It's fun to watch us live and see everybody freak out in real time as well. So, Schlong, it's been a great year, pal. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for bringing me along. I'm looking forward to 2022. It should be a good time.
2022 will be fun. Just to give everybody a little bit inside baseball, we're working on a couple things. Maybe some t-shirts, maybe some additional programming, so stay tuned for that kind of stuff. We did mention it before, but just keep in mind, we aren't going to be live next Wednesday because we will be at the show in Newark, New Jersey. Very likely we'll be live on Thursday night, but keep your eye on our socials. We will post up reminders that we're not going to be here. And when you can catch us live. And then after that, we've got a couple more dates where we're going to be at a couple additional events. I know we're going to GCW. Schlong, you're not with us at GCW, right?
No.
So Schlong's out at GCW. I just found out I'm going to GCW. Matt and Kate will be there, and a few of the other misfits in the Discord of the Shining Wizards are also going to be there. We're also going to be at the AEW Dynamite in Atlantic City, New Jersey in February. So that will be another programming change we'll keep you guys aware of. But if you're going to be at any of those shows where we are, keep your eyes on our social. We're there. If anybody ever wants to meet us and say hi, we will certainly be able to meet you guys. We always carry stickers and stuff like that too. So, Schlong, as I said, thanks for joining us here in 2021. Can't wait for what 2022 brings all of us. We love you guys who support us. We thank you so much. Thank you for helping us spread the word about this show. Anything you guys can do to help us spread the word is always appreciated. So Schlong, you want to do it one more time? Because we're at the end now.
So Schlong and good night.
Good God, some people and their ego. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to y'all next week. Happy, healthy, and safe new year from the Mark Order Podcast.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.